Starting in 5, 4. Wait. What's the date?
November 13th. Sorry, the 13th of November. Right? Okay. How do you like it?
No, I'll figure it out.
No, be like, no. I'm actually. How do non-Americans say
13th of November?
Yeah.
Do you guys say the same? Do you guys say November 13th?
We use both because Canada always uses both British and American.
Mainly November 3rd, November 13th, November 5th.
Like the way you incorrectly write dates?
Yes.
Okay.
See, the nice thing is you guys have a standard, at least, even if it's right or wrong. We have both, so nobody ever knows what's happening. It's fucking stupid.
And those voices are Thurbleton and Nubarama. Welcome to the show. This is Yothwa Cynic. This is the Scotchcast for the week of the date we've been discussing. This episode, and I feel like I need to say this out front, we'll be talking about Fallout ad nauseum, but at the very end.
Fallout?
I'm not gonna go down this road with you.
Don't do that.
Yeah, so we're gonna start with games and other shit we've been playing that's not Fallout, and then news of what little there is aside from like world events.
Fallout came out. That's news. That's the news.
And then me and Noob will rap about Fallout at the end. Probably for a while. It was to guess. We might even end up like rapping it while both playing it. By the sounds of things, I don't know. Anyway,
I'll be doing an essay while we're talking about Fallout.
Nubarama.
Is the essay about like a thesis on Fallout?
No, unfortunately, it's about the health of Canadian democracy.
Is there some way you could tie in Canadian democracy and government setups
like,
with a post?
Is there democracy healthy that it would survive the, you know, the nuclear apocalypse? That's
or what? Or what do you believe the first form of government would be post apocalypse, or rather it's post apocalypse, right? Because
well,
200
be,
years after
it would be complete anarchy, wouldn't it? Everybody it's
well
like,
that's not I mean anarchy is not it's the absence of government
that's
I
what
mean
I'm
like
saying.
The first government
there would
probably
there
like
be
a,
no government
it would be a warlord or something, wouldn't it?
Maybe. I mean, I would like to hope that people are not as horrible as they are in fiction in like a post-apocalyptic society, right? I mean, when the power goes out in a city or something, it's not like people are going out and committing crimes. Although that usually does happen in awful riots in certain cities.
Yes.
So
and
maybe,
also like
maybe we're fucked.
There is a
if and when the super earthquake happens between Portland and Seattle,
right.
I will let you know because
yeah.
Portland is not that well prepared for earthquakes, unlike Seattle.
I mean, but it's like I've watched a lot of Portlandia, and I wonder what kind of you know dictatorship would come out of a place like Portland.
You would probably have some cool hipsters wearing like they would still have the mustaches fully groomed and everything, but
it would,
they would
be
also,
the literal fashion police.
They would be styled like raiders, and yeah, it would.
I like
I mean,
the
that,
idea
that
of the literal
like,
fashion
that
police.
That seems chic. That seems like what you would actually find in Portland, like raider dress,
raider chic.
Yeah, raider chic.
I kind of agree in that. I hope that humanity doesn't degrade into absolute fucking chaos because we tend to just like that's kind of like the base survival instinct. Like in the end, no species survives on a purely solitary like by being purely solitary. Like humans have like evolved to work together.
The question is like you work together to brutally murder other people. You could
maybe.
Do that. It's
maybe.
Not necessarily working together and building a wonderful society for all, unfortunately.
Like the
as
like
we see it
cannibal like community thing will probably be a thing again. I don't know.
Yeah, there could cannibal groups out yeah. in like Papua New Guinea and things like that.
But like
that's not that crazy.
I think the main thing is I just wanted to say is that like the thing about short term things like power outages and like some of the events that have been going on in Paris today that will probably be like if like end up in stuff like this. Like there's a huge like community outpouring and like social gathering and like joining of arms and whatever.
Well,
but
for
they're
sure,
always
but,
short
I mean, you,
term. Like the thing
yeah,
about like a power outage is
those are like norms, right? It's like people do them not because necessarily they might necessarily feel that strongly about it, but because it's just the thing you do, right?
Yes.
Those are like cultural norms of our society.
Yeah. But
like
even then
the
like
Western
it's a small investment. Like think of a power outage. You know it's going to end. Like the exactly. It's the difference between having like a summer girlfriend and a wife. Like you have like that that like romantic, like, oh, like everyone's acting their best period, and then you realize like, wait, I couldn't be bothered with that anymore, so may as well just shoot this guy in the face and take his like canned meat.
Yeah, when there's a lot more on the stake than being at stake than being like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to watch my television for a week compared to I'm going to starve to death and die of radiation poisoning.
Yeah,
the world becomes a little bit more black and white, a lot less gray.
Or like, it depends how you define it, right? It could just become a lot more gray if you want.
Oh, in terms of everything is morally,
yeah, exactly, right.
As long as it's based on survival, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that aside, I've been playing, other than Fallout, of course, I've been playing a lot of Fallout.
Yes.
I played a lot of Star Wars: The Old Republic, Knights of the Fallen Empire, the new expansion from the video game developer BioWare.
Wait,
for
the expansion's called Knights of the Fallen Empire?
Yes, the expansion is called Knights of the Fallen Empire. It is the expansion to the Memorpga Star Wars: The Old Republic.
I thought Old Republic was before the fall of the Empire.
See, Knights of the Fallen Empire describes a different thing, right? So essentially, what happens is like in the last expansion, Shadow of Revan comes back. And then he releases the spirit of the Emperor, who dies in like the Star Wars Old Republic main story, right? And then
Where was the Emperor's spirit?
Like on Yavin 4.
Which Emperor is this?
That wasn't the Emperor, was it? That was just some Darth Sith.
Which Emperor was this? It's not Palpatine, I assume.
No, it's not Palpatine. No, this is story. I don't remember what his name is, to be honest.
So some previous Emperor.
It wasn't Palpatine.
Into the universe, right? Whatever. Because he's some sort of super god. And then nothing happens for a few years. Like, the Empire and the Republic team up to kill Revan. And then, like, that alliance is relatively shattered. And then everyone's back to fighting the war. And then suddenly this massive fucking empire, like this foreign power, comes out from space. And then destroys both the Republic and the Empire, basically.
Are they Borg? Like, is it just people from elsewhere?
It's like human beings, right?
Okay.
Like a human empire.
Do people just not know about them?
The Cool Empire or the Endless Empire, I believe. And then so your character is on like an expedition to find where their, you know, secret base is. And then they get ambushed and they get frozen in carbonite for 5 years. And essentially it turns out that the emperor of this new empire was actually the Sith Emperor. I know, it doesn't make any sense. But
video games happen.
Like, an entirely new world that they're creating from like the two. And the interesting thing is they've now turned Star Wars The Old Republic into a single player game.
So you said this before the show, but I don't understand what you mean, because it's still a fucking MMO, right? Like, it's still...
Okay, so this is what I mean, in the sense that essentially they've released 10 episodes of this expansion. The expansion's free for all subscribers, which is an interesting thing.
Is it like Guild Wars 1 in that, like, you could just... There were various missions you would go on that required a group, but you could just, like, ham it with NPCs.
No, this is more like you don't need a group for anything. And you just have a companion that deals all of the damage. And essentially you flow through just to do the story content, which is excellent. In the sense that there are, like... four zones in this game that where you actually see other players running around with you, and it's not an instanced game, but most of this expansion takes place in instances.
I see.
It's basically you sometimes come out of your instance to notice that other player is in the game, and it shatters your illusion of playing a single player game. Is what happens. But the core takeaway I want to give from this is it goes back to like the story focus that this game wanted to sell on launch, right? In the sense that it's very story heavy. Fallout Link here, the one of the main antagonists in this expansion is voiced by Three Dog from Fallout 3. So that's super like got me. Like immediately I recognize the voice and I'm like, whoa, what game am I playing here? But essentially the game is a lot more character focused, story focused, and the companions are excellent. There's great dialogue. The game is a lot more fun in the sense that it's a lot easier because it's sort of the companions have been buffed to hell, and rather than, you know, the companion system of old, you essentially have to just run around with your companion a lot and they'll become super buff. You don't need to give them gear or anything. Everything has become cosmetic gear-wise for companions. What else? Trying to think. That's crazy. They've streamlined the leveling system from 1 to 60 entirely. Like, it's completely streamlined now.
That's crazy.
Like, none of the side quests are required for XP. You just need to do the main quest and the planetary quest for XP.
So this, like, is the thing, right? This sounds freaking awesome. Like, it probably shouldn't, because it's like they're taking out gameplay, but it's an MMO that I never really liked the way it played in the first place.
Like, they aren't taking out gameplay as much as just they're taking out, like, the need to play with others, I guess, in an
it's
MMO.
It's not just that. It's more about sort of providing, like, they've realized that the story is the best part of this game, and they've tried to minimize all of, like, the going around and the fetch quests. And that goes part back to, essentially, they ran their 12 times XP bonus, which essentially gave you the ability to just run the story missions alone to get to levels 50, 60, or whatever, right? And they've sort of realized that people like that because they just wanted to experience the story more than, you know, slog through and make a level 60 from scratch.
Right.
And sort of they modeled their leveling system for all players that way. And Knights of the Fallen Empire essentially takes that another step further by making it, like, they're super hard trying to sell it. I wouldn't want to say they're selling it as KOTOR, because that would be incorrect. They're not really doing that KOTOR thing, but it's just like this cinematic experience where I think there's something like 6 hours of cutscenes in this expansion.
Wow.
Wait, jeez. Let me just check, because it's listed here. Wait. It's very long on cutscenes length.
Man, this is making me want to play a BioWare game. Like, freaking Mass Effect's out next year, and Star Wars is out this year. And
okay, so sorry, it's 200 minutes, so 3.3 hours.
Jeez.
And actual playtime is about 6 hours.
Holy shit. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of the dialogue is like going from this game to Fallout, you immediately realize BioWare does extremely good dialogue. Obviously.
Oh my god. I don't know if that's like just by contrast.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, this really solidifies that contrast.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like, it's also good to, it's a game where you could be super evil, as always. Like, this is from the main story, but essentially, like, as a Jedi Knight, it's always fun to be able to murder everyone in the most evil way possible, right? And this game continues to let you do that. But more or less, it's a really great expansion. And if you've ever sort of wanted to do, like, that Star Wars feel and were not willing to jump into it now, or it then, now is the time to do it.
So if someone was to play from scratch all the way to the end of this expansion, like, what's the money outlay you're looking at? Because the base game's free, right?
You just subscribe. I think subscription, like, makes it just, you don't need to buy anything else. Everything else is, for the most part,
So how much is a subscription?
It's $15.90, or I don't know how much it is in US dollars, actually. I pay something like 15 Canadian or a little bit more than that. It's a regular subscription.
Hmm.
But you can, if you really don't want to bother.
But do you get the expansion and stuff for free if you subscribe?
You get the expansion. You get all of the previous extensions included.
Oh, wow. So, okay. All right. That's something to actually make sense.
So if you subscribe once and then unsubscribe, you get all of the expansion access, essentially, until, like, because it releases episodically until that's been released until you subscribe. So you'll be able to, if you decide, oh, I don't want to pay that money, you can still get to play the game for its entirety.
Oh, nice.
Or you subscribe.
That's cool. Wait, so you said before that, like, the 12 times XP bonus was for subscribers.
Oh, that's gone. But that was during, like, the summer. But they essentially implemented that for all players by removing, like, they increased the XP from all of the story quests and planetary quests.
That's
so you
cool.
can just do it for the story, essentially, more or less.
It's like the perfect time for that game. Like, they need to ramp up the advertising again, because Star Wars is coming out fucking soon.
Oh, for sure. And if you're coming back to the game, you've done all the story, you can get a 1 to 60 token, finally, for $20 or something like that.
Okay.
And then it boosts your character to max level, or to the expansion entry level.
Right.
But essentially, the basic takeaway is story first. I feel bad for people who do operations and people who do PvP because they essentially didn't get much out of this expansion. But for the vast majority of players who like, you know, the story, essentially, it's excellent. It's fantastic.
Can we just take a moment to just fucking say how amazing that Star Wars trailer was? Like that. So we haven't done it on these podcasts for a while, and in the meantime,
oh, see, like I think it's okay. I guess.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I don't know. I'm,
like I
watched it like 80 times.
I'm seeing it day one. But that's only really because like one of my friends bought a bunch of tickets and they're like, yeah, I'll go with you guys. But I'm not that like I know a lot of stuff about Star Wars. I'm not that hyped for this new one.
You
I
are
know,
crazy
I
people.
Agree. It's like I don't want another Misa step on the poopy again.
But it's not,
no,
fucking,
I'm not about that.
I mean, okay, Lucas. There's not gonna be a kid who goes around saying, now this is pod racing or some dumb shit like that. But I mean it's like did they really need to do this? Like, I'd be
absolutely
okay if they just
like,
didn't make
this
any
is, this is all right. So here's the thing: you guys are coming to it from a good angle because coming in with low expectations is the right way to approach this. The problem is, I honestly think it's and this is only a problem for me. Like, my expectations are incredibly high because I really loved J.J. Abrams' like reboot of
Man.
Star Trek. Like his Star Trek reboot was amazing.
Star Trek.
Yeah, the first one.
I mean, like
the first one was amazing.
Yeah, the second one was awful, but yeah. I like the first one.
The first one was great, and if this is just another one of those, that sounds awesome.
And like his Star Trek reboot was an amazing like action movie, but I mean, like it
wasn't a good Star Trek movie, but it was
a
good
like
movie.
After having watched the Star Treks, like the Star Trek series, at least the Next Generation, it's like, well, okay. It was definitely a good movie. There are better Star Trek movies.
Yes, it's not a very good Star Trek movie, but it's an excellent movie. And I think the thing is with Star Wars is that you have more freedom. Like there's in that you can be more mainstream. You can just be a good action movie and be a good Star Wars movie. Because
like I'm sure it's going to be like a really good B plus or A minus, but it's not going to like be as good.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be
Empire
like
sort of thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be a pre. It's not going to be a sequels, right? It's going to be a. It's going to be better than the prequels. Like, that's not a high bar to beat. But I mean, like, I don't know if...
Here's the thing, though. Like, the sequel... Sorry. 4, 5, 6 aren't actually that good. I know that's, like, fucking...
Five is like, actually a good
movie. Yeah, no,
these are objectively good movies. You don't need to have nostalgia to say 4, 5, 6 are good movies. Maybe not 6 as much, but 4, 5, 6.
Like, 4 is all right. 5 is solid. 6 is like has some pretty big problems with it, but it ends well. I agree with 5, but like the other two, like if they came out today, if Star Wars was released today with like everything aside, just in terms of that plot, those characters, that music, like the score is obviously like timeless, but everything else about that movie is kind of average. It's the first one.
I mean, but you have to realize that a lot of sci-fi since then that would like eclipse it has been derivative of Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Like you can't so if you maybe took out all of that and then just said here's this new space movie that is like genre breaking, then I think you would still have the same reaction.
You can't take it out of that context.
But I'm just saying here are the names of the characters, right? Kylo Ren, Rey, Poe, Supreme Leader Snoke. Is it just me, or do those names sound
like, they sound like
what
Star
is that?
Wars names?
What's Supreme Leader Snoke?
Yeah, that sounds like a Jabba the Hutt. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but he's like a weird alien thing.
I mean, like, no, it's Supreme Leader Snoke versus Grand Moff Tarkin.
Grand Moff like, Tarkin, I guess.
But like the big thing for me is I'm excited to see it more so than J.J. Abrams. I'm excited for Matt Boyega.
Which one was that?
Who nobody knows who he is.
The black guy, right?
And, he is the black guy.
Yeah.
He's going to die in the first movie.
No, he's not. He's the Jedi. He is the Jedi.
No, he's not the Jedi.
He's absolutely the Jedi.
I don't care because he is like a guy from like in my head. I don't know. Like, I don't think he is. I think he's South African normally. I don't know. Hmm. But he appeared in a movie called Attack the Block, which is a bunch of kids. That. Yeah, it's an amazing movie. My plug, I guess, is to see Attack the Block. It's so good. It's so campy, but it's so good. It's a bunch of, like a bunch of kids, little street gang is like walking along, and then they end up this alien crashes down, and they beat the crap out of it, and then suddenly a whole alien invasion happens, and they protect their estate building, their giant apartment complex thing that they're all living in, and it's great.
That sounds good. And it's British comedy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good British comedy. It's it's a great movie, and I was like, oh, it's that guy. This movie's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm not interested, to get more negative, I guess, is
crazy
Disney
people.
Disney cut out they made all legacy content, so it's just
Star Wars Old Republic is all legacy.
I don't know.
It's not legacy; it's legendary.
Yeah, legendary content. Yeah, all the old stuff, no more Thrawn trilogy. No more.
What are you talking about? Legendary. What are you?
Okay, so essentially, anything
all the books, all the video games, anything that's not the movies that Disney has not expressly said this is legit.
Yeah.
Are there? They've thrown that out the way,
which I think is a good thing.
Oh, it makes sense.
I mean, it's a good thing if what JJ and all the other people can pull off is amazing and innovative, and not just trying to make good fireworks. They're if they're actually making a great, great story.
Yeah.
I fell in love with Star Wars partly because of the movies, but that got me going. But then the books and the video games and the stories sold me.
Like the video games, I can get behind, but the books, I've
never only read
heard.
Star Wars books.
I've only heard fucking
they're cheesy as all get out, but for a kid,
okay.
I love them all.
Yeah,
well, I mean, part of it is it creates a world, right? That the movies don't, like a universe.
Yeah, the universe isn't actually that fleshed out in the movies. You have no idea how big Empire is and all that kind of stuff. The books,
but I
really
mean, part of the thing that worries me, for example, is J.J. Abrams is only directing the first one. Why is that the case? Is what
I think that's a good thing. Because
really,
when was the last time he made a good follow up movie?
What movies has he made?
When's the last time he's ever followed through well?
There's a lot of other great directors out there who pull this off.
But
the people they've got is the guy who did.
The better thing is the writer.
Do you guys remember Looper?
Looper was excellent. That movie was great.
Yeah, but that was it. That's it. It's Looper.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of one shots because in terms of directors, because as long as the script remains coherent and the actors stay the same. The director can change, and they can put new creative energy, new ideas, and all that kind of stuff into it, which is good.
Jurassic World.
Otherwise, you get a Star Trek 2.
Okay, Jurassic World.
That's the last movie. It's directed by somebody who did Jurassic World, and that's essentially the only.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to realize what Jurassic World could have been, or rather, what it failed to be. There was one incarnation in which. Have you guys seen Jurassic World yet?
No, I haven't. I don't tend to. So
okay. There's a part where they use the raptors to hunt down the Tyrannosaurus because they
Is that the one where he's on the motorcycle and there's raptors going? Oh no! Yeah.
So a previous incarnation of Jurassic World
had him riding
the
raptors. The
raptors had bandoliers and guns and whatnot, and went to save they went to rescue kids.
That's funny. I like it.
Doesn't make sense.
I like it.
I don't
want to
care. Like that in the Star Wars movie, it's fucking Ewoks all over again.
Yeah, okay, but my point is, the director is about as powerful, at making the movie as the president of the United States. He has no,
he's
a figurehead.
Yeah,
but he's tied down to how good the screen is. If he co-wrote the screenplay, then great, or the script rather. Thank you, not the screen.
Yeah.
But then the director, photography and how good the editing is, there are a lot of other things that the director can, if he's good enough, and can put his time into.
Yeah.
But for some movies, if you think a movie's bad, that might just be because his hands were tied.
Yeah, that happens in many cases.
And also the production of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heavy IPs riding on this.
But if Disney treats Star Wars like they do the Marvel universe and just lets the people who know what the fuck they're doing take charge, like they have with Marvel, it could be good.
It needs to be better than the Marvel movies.
What are you talking about? The Marvel movies have been great.
Far better than the Marvel movies.
The Marvel movies have been great, though. It has to be better.
I'm not saying that they're not great. I'm just saying
it has to be better.
Star Wars is too beloved of a franchise.
Star Wars is Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I fucking hope that Luke or Han Solo and Leia die in the first movie or are never seen
I
again.
Actually really like, I really like the ideas put forth in the trailer, which is like, there are these just like figures who are in the world, but they're not like...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I hope infamous. They're not... I hope they're not main characters or anything like that.
Like, they're
just in the...
They're not infamous. Legend. They're not like fucking... Yeah, they're legends. They're just like people... Like, in the end, for example, only three people saw what happened in the fucking Death Star with Luke. And that was Luke, Darth Vader, and the Emperor, two of which are dead. So the only one who knows what happened in there was Luke. So, like...
Yeah, that's why they say the legends are real.
Exactly. I love that. I love the whole, like, concept of the universe has moved on. The Empire has fallen, but the universe itself has moved on. And it's... And things that happened in that era are just like these like stories that are told, like the Second World War. Like it's the kind of same, like we were growing up, at least me and Thurbleton, like you less so, only like 30, 40 years, like we were born only 50 years after the fucking Second World War, right? But so for us, it just feels like stories. And it's like, even though people like we know live through it, but for us, it's just this kind of like, it's almost the same thing. Obviously, we wouldn't call them legends because we fucking knew it happened. But like,
yeah,
feels
but, like write things down.
It feels the same thing. Yeah,
a good example. Nobody, like, I think anybody born after 1970, sort of thing. Hmm. No, when 79, I think it. There have only been 24 people who went to the moon.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's nobody in our lifetime has been or is going or anything like that. So it's mm-hmm. like we're told in recent history.
Yeah.
And World War One, World War Two are definitely great examples of that. And that it's the generate people who lived during that time versus they not many of them left.
Yeah. And that's kind of what the Star Wars universe is doing, except for, as Noob said, apparently they don't have video technology and like no way to record things because like,
I mean, let's not forget that according to the prequels, it only took like 10 years for them to forget that the Jedi are like fiction, despite them being like millions of them across the galaxy.
Well, I mean, like that,
it's not a complex society in terms yeah. of its record keeping. Yeah. Let's just say that.
That was also like a massive smear campaign. Like it could also be the thing of no one knows because everyone's afraid to speak about it. Mm-hmm. And like the people, you'd hear stories of like people when they, refugees when they fled. Well, I've heard stories. I don't mm-hmm. know if the Canadian and the Australian has. When refugees would flee to America and change their name, they wouldn't tell their children about like what it was like, or like this is like 1930s, like 1800s kind of thing of like, they just wouldn't tell their kids what their name, like what their last name was before they got to Ellis Island. And so when people are looking up their genealogy, it kind of like stops right there because like it's not the case for everyone, but for some people, they would be like that.
But it's like other things, like the Taliban, for example, like they were the good guys in our recent past. And then they became the bad guys. Like, it's one of those things where the Empire kind of fucking downplayed what Jedi were to the point where a lot of people just...
No, but I mean, like, nobody... It's like it's been, like, less than 20 years, and then people...
I know we just related the Taliban to the Jedi, but like,
Jedi? What's that? I've never heard of that. That's a little bit crazy.
That's a bit too far, yeah, because, like, it's like... Okay. You probably met a Jedi.
Is this going to be, like, the... I think it was one of Kevin Smith's movies saying that like the attack on the second Death Star was a terrorist attack because of all the civilians who were working to build it. The first one was just Imperial.
All those contractors.
Like, wait, let's just point out that the Jedi essentially made child soldiers by kidnapping children from their
parents.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
Not like they're good people.
100%.
All the Empire wanted to do was regulate the flow of drugs.
Well, but that's like saying, what's the difference between a child soldier and like a special need, like a special student school or whatever the fuck you want to call it, like an advanced student school? Like they're slightly different.
Kids are kidnapped from their fucking parents. Let's not, like, in the first movie, they take Anakin Skywalker away from slavery, but they just leave his mom. They never go back for his mom.
But were they separated? Like, they didn't know where the mom was. Did they?
People.
They didn't know where the mom was, did they?
Well, no, it's her, like, they were both slaves, and they could only purchase one of them.
Oh. But they never went back after they saved the galaxy.
And then, what's his face?
Like, Liam Neeson?
No, the... Hey, what's the matter? Mind tricks don't work on me. Only mine.
Yeah, like the racist caricature of somebody from the Middle East.
Yeah, he sold her later on. So
yeah, but I mean, like, they could have just gone back and at least saved his mom, but nope.
I don't know. Like, our government wouldn't necessarily look after our family that way. Like, if I don't know.
Kind of just no, but I mean, you, it's right? Like, if they took you, like, they could probably go back.
And they could, but they're gonna. Like,
but they're not good people. That's what I'm saying. It's like, the Jedi weren't, they're not portrayed particularly sympathetically. In
no, yeah, the Jedi is just, like, another fucking group of people. They're just yeah. People-ass people that just happen to have magical powers. I don't know.
But essentially, yeah, I hope they don't incorporate anything from the prequels into the new movie. Like, there's not gonna be, like, I don't know what's. Awful
do you
in the
think
prequels.
There'll be ghosts Jar Jar. In this movie?
Oh, for sure.
Force ghosts?
For sure.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, this is what I'm thinking. I saw a really good breakdown. I encourage everybody to see it because it's done by somebody who knows Star Wars really well. He's very famous for Star Wars reviews. Go to Red Letter Media. They did a really great breakdown on predictions. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that I found very interesting is they think that Finn, like the black guy, he dies in the first movie because. When you see him holding the lightsaber, he clearly looks
doesn't know what he's doing.
Shit scared.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, right. And then the idea is like you see the girl like crying over some dead body, right? And then like the thing is, she's probably going to be the Jedi, hence the name, the Force Awakens. Like the Force awakens in her, and then the John Boyega is going to be a Force ghost.
The last part I don't necessarily want to get behind, but I'm kind of with you in that like. It is pretty clear that attractive white lady will probably be the hero in the end.
She is the central person in the poster, right?
Exactly, yeah. She's central in the poster. She's the first one you see in the new trailer. She's, like, the one no one knows anything about. Like, we don't know who she is.
She's going to be somebody's kid, for sure.
Absolutely. She's absolutely going to be someone's kid. Especially with like the Force going down bloodlines, that's always been the case. Like it's.
She doesn't have a last name. She and Finn do not have last names compared to all of the other characters.
Exactly, and I just think it would be really shit.
Are we gonna get like a ghost? Not ghost, but just like a sneak cameo by Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh god! No,
that'd be good.
I was kicked off by Anakin. Remember me? I was in those movies.
With these mother Jawas on this motherfucking planet.
If the black guy is the first of the new characters to die, I am calling bullshit. That is just garbage. If the black guy dies, like that is fucking lame. Like in evolution-esque fucking ways, that's lame.
No, but I mean, he becomes like the stepping stone for the main character to become a Jedi.
That's dumb. What,
it makes sense. It makes sense. Though.
It makes sense, but it's dumb. Like they should just both be Jedi.
No, you can't have two Jedi. That's
you can
like
have two
boring.
Main characters. Like, they're kind of setting it up to having two main characters.
The part of these stories is it's like an average person becomes like this fantastic.
Also,
like,
just
like a fruit special thing.
But it takes away if she's someone's daughter. Like
Jedi can use lightsaber, or non-Jedis can use lightsabers. Yeah, hence Han and Empire on Hoth.
Exactly. And there's that scene, he doesn't look like he knows what he's doing.
He clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
No, he's scared like shit. And then she's crying over a dead body in a scene that looks like it's in the same location as the scene where he takes the lightsaber.
No, okay. It doesn't look like the same. It's just, it's darker.
Blind prediction, and then we need to get off Star Wars. What if Luke dies and then Boyega has to deliver Hamill's body to Mystery Girl but fights off people with Luke's lightsaber having no idea what he's doing, and then she cries over Luke's body?
But what is she looking up at?
Yeah, she's looking up at something. Well, no. That's clearly like looking up and to the side to have her face in frame.
I don't know. I think Luke will be there. As like the ultimate villain.
Luke should not die.
I think he should die at the very end.
It would be lame if he becomes a villain because that just means like everyone in his family does the same arc. And that's dumb.
I don't know if Mark Hamill could play a villain character. That's a joke. We should.
Yeah. But I'm just like one
Mark
thing.
Mark Hamill's an amazing Joker.
Saying, like it would be bad if everybody turned dark. But it's like, you know, have you seen the first Star Trek movie? And it's just like everything is like a reference to something, and it's like it's poetry.
It's just gonna be that, like with everyone just repeating the previous one's mistakes,
yeah,
over and over again.
I, He loves those. He loves to do like.
What if Kylo Ren's the good guy?
I think Kylo Ren's is like. He's not confirmed for
that. What if nobody's quite good and nobody's quite bad? And it's a shade of grays.
Everyone knows Pretty White Lady will be
overestimate J.J. Abrams absolutely. In terms of the kind of plot he does.
Pretty White Lady will absolutely be the central good character.
It needs to be a simple movie. You can't have a fucking complex movie. I think that would do it a disservice because Star Wars at the core was a very simple movie about good against evil.
Yeah.
And I think they need to do that at the end of the day.
And with that, moving on to what other people have been doing with their time. Thurbleton.
What's up?
Last time we were on show.
Yes.
We talked about Guild Wars 2, and I hear that you haven't played too much more of it, but I want a Guild Wars 2 check-in from you, good sir.
A Guild Wars 2 check-in. Yes. Last time we talked about claiming the guild and how rough that was.
Yes, and you never actually...
Claiming the guild hall.
Yeah, and you went there when the guild hall was claimed, and you haven't...
Oh, yeah. I ended up joining up on the... Our Overflow guild hall claiming thing.
Nice.
Which is just like, hey, it's the other location sort of thing. It was fairly easy. So the previous night, there were huge influx of people, like over 60, not the previous night, but the previous time we did it for the main guild hall sort of thing. I wasn't part of that. There were so many people basically... got too hard because the scaling of the amount of people that they have. The scaling, screw them over. When we did it, there was like maybe 20 of us, and we like split up into like groups of 4 and 5 and spread out across the map and everything. And actually, it got to the point where like some groups were just standing around because there was nothing to happen. Like, there's like other groups are responding and taking care of it. It's like, well, let's run over and help them out. You guys, we're bored. So cool. That actually went really well. The guild halls are huge.
That's cool. Like, huge is huge? Are they
like
a whole zone?
Yeah, like the size of a small zone.
Holy shit!
Like the size of a city, I'd say.
Damn, that's kind of awesome.
It's awesome, but then also kind of like
annoying.
Granted, we're just starting off with ours, and it seems like it's a long road to sort of like build up your guild hall, which is good. But I hope that it will eventually become a more populated thing, because right now it's kind of boo.
It's like they design it for guilds with hundreds and hundreds of people, but guilds aren't even that big. So I don't know.
Some guilds are and most guilds aren't.
What's the cap on it?
250, I think.
250, yeah. So if 250 people met in that one zone, it would probably fill out, right? It would be like a pretty cool kind of thing, assuming the server didn't crash.
Like, I imagine the server couldn't even support that many people. I think most servers support... I don't actually know. I don't want to... We've done enough on this show in the past of just, like,
guessing?
Like shoveling out. Yeah. Wrong facts.
Yeah.
But...
Wait, so in general, do you like it? Is the guild... Have you done guild stuff in the guild hall? Does that seem like it's a whole thing that's worth doing?
I have not done guild stuff in the guild hall other than claiming the guild hall, because we have to keep doing upgrades to then get access to guild missions, I guess. Also, like, big game season. A lot of people are wanting to do other stuff as well as, like, it's just, we haven't had, we've only done, like, two, we've skipped out 2 weeks of not doing guild missions. So maybe this week we'll do it. I don't know.
Fucking a lot of games have come out recently. A lot of awesome games have come out recently, so I don't know. The only other question would be, because you've done more story stuff now, how's that been?
It's been good. I mean, like, it's much the same of just, like, it's a polished version of the original story, I guess, of just, like, hey, there's neat combat. It's definitely not as bad as it was with the living story, which was definitely more catered to be, like, group content, I guess. Yeah, like the second season of The Living Story was like expecting you to have at least, you know, 2 to 3 people, if not a full group of 5.
Right.
This seems good. You'll get the thing of like, hey, this NPC thinks we should do these events, whereas this one says we should do these other ones. So they've sort of padded out the different missions of like, hey, if you want to do a turret defense or if you want to do like a prisoner rescue.
Right.
Those are options. It's fun.
Is the story good now? Like, how is it actually working out in terms of quality? Like, I know that I get the general concept, but like, does it feel like they're executing this time around?
It's kind of hard to say, only because like Guild Wars has a way of like they tend to keep the nose to the ground sort of thing on like the overall story, other than like, hey, a dragon woke up and that's all you know. Like right now, I'm just trying to like rescue people and get out of the map to get to the next map to see what the next story is.
Right.
There's nothing like. If there is big things, it's usually not hinted until the end, or it's usually like, yeah, that, I don't know that much. I don't know. I'll let you know when I finish it.
It's I don't know. It sounds like it's kind of just still spotty, like by the sound of things. Like if you couldn't point to it and go, yeah, like Noob could with Star Wars, like, yeah, like there's a clear progression, there's a clear like impetus, and you have this like this feeling of like wanting to push through it, and like there's reasons to keep going, like there's characters you care about, like if you haven't had that yet, then I would say I'm pretty confident in saying they haven't nailed it again. That's my stance, but as someone who hasn't played it,
by the way,
making people
like,
angry at home,
I like that expansion that I just talked about. I did the expansion on three characters at once, like in one sitting. Like it was that good. It was that good.
Anything else with Guild Wars 2?
Nothing else with Guild Wars 2. I mean, I'm still playing it on more or less a daily basis. I'm still having fun with it. I'm just doing the things I would like previously do of like getting alts geared up and all that sort of stuff. It's also like, it's, yo, dog, the mastery grind, it's real.
Okay, tell me about that, because we didn't have a good grasp on what the master system was last time. How does it, what have you learned? What is it?
I mean, like, mainly I've been doing it, like, the expansion, like, when you're in the expansion area, you're working on the expansion masteries, which are, like, improved hang gliding and ways to, progress both vertically and through the levels, like, being able to talk to various like races to then unlock them as like, you know, I don't want to say reputation grind, but just like to get access to them, I guess. Whereas if you're in the old zones, the classic vanilla zones, I guess, you have a different mastery tree that is, there is a neat thing. There's a neat like road you can go down with masteries that is, like a mentoring, I guess. Like you can, you know how there were commander tags in like World versus World and all that, and they are making improvements to that, especially with raids coming up.
Right.
But there is now, you can make a tag that like you can just get access to a tag that is a mentor, and new players will be able to like tag up with you. Like they don't turn their tag on, but they'll join up with you and you like help them out. So that's one neat thing that they've done. But the other ones are to make it so like it's makes the leveling process easier, you get more experience sort of stuff. But then the last thing, which is the coolest thing in my opinion, is to they've made several steps to build your legendary. They sort of like they've redesigned the way you craft your legendary from how it used to be of like looking it up on a wiki sort of thing. Now it's you start going around the world, which I've sort of been doing that just as a, I'm curious about what it's like. And you'll do like right now I'm on stage one of, I have to complete a dozen, maybe 16 events around the world. And they're varying things like, hey, come to the top of this tower and fight this veteran, or go into the Fractals of the Mist and do this specific fractal. And they're neat little, like, you know, gopher sort of things, but yeah, it's fun.
Cool.
And I will potentially at the end of this journey get access to a precursor or a legendary item. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, guaranteed legendaries are a cool thing.
And I think with the raids they've announced not only new legendary weapons but also legendary armor, two or three per armor set, so cloth, like leather and heavy. mail, plate mail, I guess.
I don't know. You kind of reminded me of why I really like the Destiny system of legendaries and exotics. Like, I just fucking love that. Like, it, I think there's a difference in...
What is the legendary? Like, is it class-based or what?
Well, okay, so what you would call a legendary in Guild Wars 2, Destiny would call an exotic. Like, a specific piece of gear that's, like top tier in terms of its abilities, but unique in terms of like what it looks like, its animations, its and some of its abilities would be unique to that weapon. I'm not sure. Wait, in Guild Wars, like, I know you have a lot of visual effects to do with your legendary, but does it actually have a unique like ability or buff or anything that's on it? Or
no, but I get plenty of buffs anyway with like just with specs and talents.
Yeah, like, it's just one of those things where exotic weapons in Destiny would have a unique perk that would only that weapon has. So for example, like the obvious one was like Galahorn, one of the first year exotics, which isn't in year two. Like they left it behind because it was too overpowered and they couldn't design the game around it.
I hear people are still, it still has some use cases.
Yeah, it's still really good because it scales up to a point, and up to the point it scales at, it still demolishes everything. But they literally did not bring it to year two because they could not design the game around how powerful that gun was. But the thing it did was, like, your rocket would hit, and then it would, after doing the damage of its blast, it would split up to many little rockets that would each be seeking, and they'd hit as well, doing about, like, 2 to 3 times the damage of a normal rocket. But only that gun in the whole game did that. And that's, like, a really cool thing, but, like... Yes, you do have that element of it. I was like, oh, this gun's really cool, does something unique. But at the same time, there were so many exotics, and all of them could be used by every class, that essentially, all the weapon ones could be used for every class, that it wasn't a case of, hey, this item is really difficult to get, and it's this really cool, like, visual effect that you kind of work towards. It was... there's all these items, they're not as hard to get, they actually made them more, like, you have a pretty easy, there's pretty easy ways to get exotics in Destiny, and there always has been. They're not as difficult to get, but they do interesting and varied things. It actually reminds me of the elite skill system of the first Guild Wars, where your build would be defined by what exotic you choose in Destiny, and in a similar way in Guild Wars 1, your build would be defined by what elite skill you used in Guild Wars 1. And that's just kind of idea of there being many, but they're being easy to get, and them having some other reason why you'd want them, other than them just looking pretty and being really rare. I vastly prefer that system in Destiny. And that's let alone what they did with the recent expansion, which they've talked about in the Bumcast, but we haven't talked about here, which is like the challenge mission way of getting some exotics. Like, some exotics are... only gotten in very specific ways, but like once you do it that way and they're known now, you get the item. So for example, one is when a specific daily mission comes around, it's this quest where you go into this like really like deep dank cave and you beat this massive boss at the end, and it seems to end, but then it doesn't. Like there's like some errors happening in the game world, blah 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 blah, and you have to like you have to run out, and on your way out you have to do all these tasks to get out of the cave to stop the hive from killing you. So if you do the whole mission in under heroic difficulty, which is what all the dailies are set at, and you go down, kill the boss, come back up, complete all the tasks, and get near the end, instead of going left through the door to the exit, another door opens up if you do it under 10 minutes. So when you do that, you go through the second door, and there's a teleporter there that takes you to a new area. That's, to be fair, it's Destiny. It's still a refresh from something from a different mission, but it's a new area for that mission. And you go in, and there's a separate task that is, if you there's like a boss at the end, you have to clear all these ads and kill this boss. And if you do that whole thing under 10 minutes, I think it was, you get an exotic. And that exotic's guaranteed, and you always get that exotic from doing it that way. But you can only do it when that mission comes around, and you can only do it if you do that specific series of events. And it's so hard that you usually need to do it with a full fire team worth of really leveled dudes. So, like, that execution process of getting that and getting this really cool weapon by a short, like, it's a very short thing. Like, in the end, it only took us one run, so it was a 15-minute run to get an exotic. Like, imagine getting a legendary in 15 minutes, which is, that's ridiculous. But the way Destiny works is because there's so many exotics, that process remains fun and isn't, like, overdrawn out. And, like, you can imagine doing that for different guns and having different challenges and all that kind of thing in that game. I just really like the way that works, and it reminds me how old school the way Guild Wars 2 works, with the whole, like, grind towards a particular item that isn't necessarily that much better than the others. I don't know.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe they will, that kind of stuff. Like, I'm only on tier one of, like, I don't know how far down this rabbit hole goes before I've achieved a legendary.
Hmm.
So I might have to do cool stuff like that, but yeah, I do realize that as of right now, they don't have any cool effects.
You know, either way, they're different games, yeah. And it's, at some point we shouldn't even be comparing them, but I just like how new games do it. Like, for example, like Fallout, legendary items and unique items are actually really easy to find, but there's lots of them. I just like that way of doing things more than there being very few and very specific about legendaries. Anyway, moving on. Anything else you've been playing, Doubleton?
I have been playing a fair amount of Galaxy, the Dimensional, because it is now available on the PlayStation, or not PlayStation, personal computer. That's what I was looking for.
the personal computer, the one in your house.
Yes.
Not the one, not the big one.
Opposed to the one that is as big as your house.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going for. Wait, you mean it's on my phone?
Yes, it's actually, no, not yet. But they actually do have plans of,
I'm not surprised. They probably work out pretty well on your phone.
It's Galaxy. It's not mobile, but yeah, it's they're working on an iOS version.
That's cool. I think it'll be pretty good for iPad. I don't know. Go ahead, Doubleton.
But yeah, this is also the time in which they would have released. So it's broken out into five seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They'll add more if they, like, get enough reception for it. But looking at the Steam charts, I don't know if that's a thing. I hope people go out and buy it because it's a really good game.
Mm.
But yeah, I actually have it, like, on PlayStation 4. I've made it to season 4. I've made it to season 3. I can't get to season 4. And I'm in that same boat on... No. Okay. Yeah. I had to remember for a second. I beat season 3 on PlayStation 4, and I'm mm-hmm. on season 4, but I can't beat that.
Yep.
On PC, I can't beat season 3, and I've made like 3 or 4 attempts.
Is the difficulty different, or is it?
I don't know. Maybe it's just like maybe me using an Xbox 360 controller makes the difference.
I was gonna say like how are you playing on PC? Because obviously you do it on controller for PS4 and Xbox, but for PC
you do have the option. Like you can use
Mouse and Keyboard.
Mouse keyboard, yeah, totally.
Would that work better? Because
I don't know. I'll have to try it next time I make an attempt. But it's
analog it's movement fun. Seems really important for that game, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's also like because you're in space, you end up sliding a lot, and just controlling that slide is more important than controlling your like overall movement.
Yeah,
I guess
direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, like the third boss fight is. It's a boss fight in that you have to run from somebody that is invulnerable.
Right.
And so that is my challenge with that. And then like when you get to season 4, it's just every season they ramp up the type of baddies. And in season 4.
There's only 4, like, right? That's the idea?
Well, no, that's the thing is when it came out on PC, as far as I can tell, I can't confirm this because I can't get to it, but season 5 should be out.
Oh, okay.
And it's a thing of they were telling me that like it's maybe it's going to be some sort of like daily challenge sort of thing. Maybe it's like season 5 is supposed to be different in some way. They have also added a different game mode called arcade instead of rogue.
Hmm.
And how rogue works is the same way how it worked previously of if I die, I have to go back to the start of the season. And then if I played, like if I played on arcade, if I died, I just reset to the previous, like I'd have to redo the level because there's 5 levels in every season. And I know your next question is going to be, but Thurble, why aren't you just playing it on arcade if you want to get to the end? it's because I'm trying to get good, son. I'm playing it in true Halo fashion on heroic, the way it's meant to be played.
And also, this game isn't necessarily like fucking built on the laurels of its story. Like, it's not. It's
no, but that being said, the story is kind of adorable.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. I've seen the quick book and then it'll be cool.
The banter they give at the start of each mission, and it's just like, it's like, hey, I have to get these food crates from space. Like, wait, won't I damage the food? Mm-hmm. And she was like, nah, it's space food.
That's cool.
They just go full ham. It's great.
It's good. Yeah. There's a lot about that game I like. I just wish there was more story. That was always my thing with it. I don't know. I'm always that guy.
The only thing I've played one session of with a several diffuses. Well, several. One salad diffuse in a couple of attempts, but I played Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
With friends
in real life? With a friend over the Skype.
Oh, okay. Does it work well over Skype? I have no idea. I assume it would because you can't see.
I can't see what's going on, but it's all about that communication.
That's awesome.
And it's a really fun game. It's definitely stressful.
Like, I know that it's available now, and it. Like, everything about it would still be awesome, but for I want the VR. I need it to because it's like part of the awesomeness. And just to explain what this game is for anyone who doesn't know. So Keep Talking and No One Explodes. Thurbleton, can you give us a brief synopsis of what the one's about?
I mean, it's just like the scene from like Lethal Weapon, like 2 or 3, in which like it's like there is a bomb with several modules on it, and you don't know what wire to cut. And if you cut the wrong one, I think there's two game modes, actually. If you make an incorrect move, you get a strike, and then 3 strikes and you're out, or the timer just speeds up.
Nice. That's cool.
But you're in luck, because there are PDFs available to to explain the crazy ways in which you defuse a bomb, and you get some friends together, and the ideal way of playing is the people who have the PDFs either printed out in nice like flip pad notebook sort of thing, or just on a screen, they can see how to defuse, but they can't see the bomb. Yes. And then the person defusing is explaining to them, but because they can't see the notes.
Yeah. It's as if they're like on the other end of like a phone call. And it's like, imagine a world where you're in an office building and you have to disarm a bomb, but you look at it and you have fucking clearly no idea what you're doing. So you call the bomb disposal team and they're telling you over the phone how to do it. Like, just that's kind of like the concept boiled down.
Like, a really good analog for this is like it's imagine you're NASA and somebody is the astronaut off on space. And then someone like everyone else is down on like ground control.
Yeah.
And you see weird like flashing warning lights. Like, well, what is this? What do I do with this? And then you explain to them, and they know what's going on, but they're not up there with you on the ship.
Yeah.
Except it's a bomb.
Yeah. So you're doing things like you're reading serial numbers. You're describing what it looks like, because like they're just looking at a flip book. Like, that's the best. I think the best way to do it is to just print it out and put it in a folder. But they're looking through a flip book with like all these pictures of bombs, and they're trying to narrow it down what you're looking at, and you're trying to tell them what you're looking at, but like by being as specific but also as general as you can, because obviously they can't see it. So it's one. And after you identify it, which is the first big hurdle, then they actually have to walk you through how to disarm it, and that's where the real fun starts, I think.
How to go. It I mean, like, it's we defused a couple and we did not defuse a couple. And it's just like, oh, geez, that blew up. Okay. Well, it's basically you're fine so long as there's no Morse code.
Nice.
And there's a couple other ones that are just like, but nope, you're dead. Start running.
Yep. That's funny.
But the thing is, like, this goes into – it's a growing list, but it's still a very small list of really good games to – show and play with people who don't play games.
Yes.
So like Quiplash or really anything from like the Jackbox guys, that's a great game because, you know, pull out your phone, that's a controller, boom, done.
Yeah.
It's a party game. This is another good one. Just like, all you need is a printer and a screen and like a room big enough to have like you in one corner so no one can see it but you.
Hmm. And I think I would personally add Lethal League to that list, but you have to have people willing to pick up a controller. That's not always the case, but
yeah,
if you get them to do it, that game.
I mean, if you want to get into that, then like Dive Kick is a great game.
Yeah, but yeah, Dive Kick's an okay game. Like, I think it's actually overcomplicated. Lethal League's a bit simpler. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else, Stapleton?
That's more or less it. Yeah.
Cool. And for me, I pretty much keep playing Fallout.
One previous thing, since it's slowly it ended, but it's still a couple of people are doing it. Extra Life happened.
Absolutely.
And I like gave a bunch of money to awesome people and an awesome cause. And I hopefully if you dear listener are able to, I hope you do that as well, because it's for the kids.
Yeah.
And depending how soon we get this out, GameSpot might still be doing theirs.
So, Giant Bomb did like 70-something hours worth of streaming, if you include Dave Lang, which I guess we're doing for some reason.
Former current host, I guess, Shimboy also did a 24.
Yep.
Dan Teasdale of No Goblin, and like the whole No Goblin crew, I guess. But, so, weird thing, They did theirs, which was the best of the worst games ever, and that is also a VOD you should probably check out, because there are some terrible games and it's very entertaining. But they raise so much money every year; they are a actual percent of money that the hospital they donate to every year like receives in like care. Jeez. Like, they raise $10,000, but still, that's wow. That's awesome.
That's awesome. But yeah, so that's essentially that bleeds into what I've been doing, because I haven't been playing video games because I've been really busy and actually on the move and traveling and stuff. In fact, I only got to play Fallout like yesterday and today. But
it's only there's some mobile version of Fallout you could play.
No.
Like,
no.
I mean, Fallout 4 is base building, right? What if there's like some sort of mobile base building Fallout game you can play? Nope. Where you're still fighting raiders and whatnot, and you're going out searching for things, but it's just, it's mobile.
I don't know what you're talking about. I spent the whole week essentially watching the Extra Life stuff in post, because I couldn't watch it live, because I was also traveling during that time. And it was awesome. Like, watching Drew and Alexis, like, fucking talking about old memories and old feels, like, them playing Halo again was pretty good times. They played through Halo 5. A lot of this stuff is on the Giant Bomb YouTube channel. And some stuff hasn't been archived properly yet by Giant Bomb, or was archived and taken down because of some issues. But it's up on Giant Bomb
probably find it. You could probably find it on Giant Bomb Unarchived or the Giant Bomb website on YouTube, rather.
Yeah. So Giant Bomb Unarchived.
Or just wait till they finish producing it and make it look pretty.
They're just going to cut it up into 2-hour chunks and put it up, right? Like, that's it. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
So I was watching that. I caught up on all the Life is Strange videos by Giant Bomb. That was actually my favorite thing to happen in the last couple weeks, including Fallout. Like, I don't know if I'll ever play...
What's wrong with you?
I don't know if I'll play Life is Strange. Like, have you... Okay, so who's played Life is Strange or has watched the Giant Bomb playthrough?
I have played it, still need to beat it.
Okay.
I just haven't... I haven't sat down and done it. I haven't made the time.
They do too good a job of teen drama. Hashtag teen drama.
There's so much teen drama in that game.
I cannot stand it. I could not play that by myself. Like, I just... There's like a moment where a girl locks another girl in her fucking dorm room because she thinks, like, no, sorry, a third girl sent like a fake text to her, and she thought like her boyfriend was sleeping around or whatever. There's fucking like little stupid, and this is the worst idea for school ever. There's like chalkboards, like whiteboards in front of everyone's room. And there's this one girl who's like has this internet video of her out. So like people like keep calling her a slut on the whiteboards. Like, there is like so much teen drama in that fucking game. I just can't. Obviously, like, your best friend has an abusive father. Like, I could not do it. But seeing it through the lens of Mr. Vincent Caravella, with fucking
small businessman.
It is my favorite. It's one of my favorite things I've seen this year. Because like playing it by yourself is one thing, but playing it and hearing other people's, like real people's, like normal people's thoughts about what's happening, because like at some point you're so invested in the world that it's good to have the perspective of, oh my god, that's just a crazy person. You can't do that thing. You can't. Also, I just need to note there's weird sounds happening in the background.
Yeah, I'm trying to message Noob.
It's not working.
Yet. I'm sorry. It's not.
Yeah. It's so loud.
Tear something. Oh god.
Please mute yourself. But yeah, so like, for example, you drop a paint bucket on fucking people, and that could have gone horribly, horribly wrong, and no one would do that in real life, but it's a video game. So like things like that, but having other people's commenting
yes,
it on
no
the side.
No one would do that.
Like, drop it from like the second story onto people. Like the bucket.
I would never do that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Teen drama. Hashtag teen drama.
Teen drama.
Stealing your dad's gun. That's a bad fucking move.
That's crime.
That's a super bad fucking move.
That's a bad fucking move. Like, yeah, it's shit happens that game that I don't think I could handle if it was just me, especially because I just get fucking mad at the characters. But it's pretty great.
That's the game we should have played together. So
Life is Strange. We could still do it. Like, they've only played through the first two episodes. There's five episodes.
I've not played. I don't know anything about that game.
You will love to hate it. Like the main character goes to a gifted, not even gifted. It's like a specialist artistic university.
Oh god!
So she's in like this fucking class with like six people in it that are like learning about photography, and they have the biggest fucking douchebag photographer fucking lecturer who they have like a good hour of recorded lectures on, like just in the game of him just going on about fucking art.
It's like a trade school, except if the trade was all artists, like artwork instead.
Oh, so
of,
it's like a trade school, except you won't actually get a job at the end of it.
Well, there's a chemistry class for some reason. No other, I didn't see any other science.
Like figuring out how, like how, you know, film exposes, maybe.
God, I don't know. Apparently they're mixing chemicals and you can make it, you can tell the guy who likes you a bad formula so it explodes in his face.
Oh, what a joker. It's like the Three Stooges.
But it's great when watching it with the Giant Bomb crew commenting. Anyway, so I did that. I watched the extra live stream. Again, Halo 5, I think they played it on Saturday. So the Drew and Alexis stream, which is like the fourth or fifth one up. That's all on, I believe it's all on YouTube already. And that's essentially what I did with my time aside from fucking Fallout. Like, that's pretty much it. I haven't had time to do anything, like actually play games. So I guess we'll move on to news. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. News.
Just did the McDonald's thing.
No. I didn't go up then down.
You did.
I went down then up. Alright, I'll have to cut it. So don't infringe on those fucking copyrights.
There, you can just pull like
you don't want to get sued by fucking McDonald's.
I was gonna say you could just pull just my audio, but if you're using your file, which you've hitched a couple of times on mine.
I'm using my file.
No, it's not bad enough. Like, you could still use it, but I don't know. You could do whatever you want. Or you can cut all out and just put, like, the other music that I use all the time. Ow, that hurt.
Yeah, I could do that. So we're talking about news. There hasn't been much news, aside from, like, world news, but we're not going to be talking about that. So, yeah, that hasn't... Like, it's, last 3 weeks, like,
Fallout
aside from us
out.
Being out of fucking town... The biggest thing that happened, I think, was the Sony Paris thing. And I have like a bunch of notes
Fallout
on that.
Fallout came out.
I have a bunch
of
notes.
What the fuck is Sony Paris? What the fuck does that even mean?
So Sony
does
the Paris Games Week
this
year.
Is that even English?
Like, remember Gamescom?
I didn't even know they had French games.
Exactly. Like Gamescom was a thing, and is a thing, and is becoming more of a thing, but Sony was like, fuck that, and went to Paris Games Week for whatever reason. which, and they had a pretty good show. And that's essentially it. Like, it's pretty much just a case of they had like a couple, like a Gamescom-esque press conference in fucking Paris a couple weeks ago. And it was interesting. And I have a bunch of notes on that, but I'm not going to go through them because fuck it. It's fucking 2 weeks old. There's only one piece of news that I think was, well, the main thing was two big things were announced. One of them being new Gran Turismo game, and the other one being the game I'm actually excited for. So, Noobarama, have you seen or watched or heard of Quantic Dream?
Is that the one where things go in slow motion or time freezes?
No. Quantic Dream is a developer who made Heavy Rain and...
Oh, no, I'm thinking of...
Right? Quantum Break, I think?
Quantum Break.
Okay,
yeah. Quantum Break, that's it.
Yeah, I think
okay, Quantic Dreams. Yeah, they made that
Fahrenheit?
Game that was popular. No, the other one.
Beyond Two Souls?
No, the one they're most famous for.
Heavy Rain, the one I named earlier.
Heavy Rain, yeah. Okay. Is that the one where they're like Jason?
Yeah, Jason! Jason! Okay, well, press X to Jason. Yes.
Press X to Jason.
So, just a quick aside to that, you know, just that specific thing of like a parent like yelling for their child. I booted up Shelter 1 again because I was reminiscent of Shelter. I'm a fan of that. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I was like, hey, Shelter 2, I wonder if they have controller support yet. Nope. But they have added a... there is DLC that costs more than the game costs, and like the game costs like... I think $4, and the DLC costs $5.
okay.
But it's a whole other zone of just like run around on mountains, and you get the Aurora Borealis. It's really cool. Anyway, for Shelter 1, it is possibly a great horror game if you don't like jump scares. Like, if you're not a big thing, like, it's because the whole thing is just keeping your kid alive.
Yeah.
And on, like, there's a level when you're in the nighttime. And you look behind you and you see four kids, but you don't hear the fifth, and you don't lose the kid instantly. There's a sound cue that is just like a rising note of just like, and then if you don't call your kid in that time, the kid's snuffed away. So you hear the sound cue, you look behind you and like, oh crap, where are my kids? And then you're Jason. But then your kid shows up. He's like, oh, it's good.
Oh, is the kid's name Jason?
No.
I mean, it's whatever you want to name it.
It can be.
Oh.
Actually, in Shelter 2, you can name your cubs, you could name them all Jason.
That'd be fantastic. So yes, Quantic Dream, makers of Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, etc., are making another game. That's the only real big news that I got from fucking Gamescom. So
I hope it's an original thing and not just something that was thought of before and the community loved.
I actually disagree. I'd fucking... All right, so...
Wait, what have they announced?
I've actually talked about this before in the show. So there's a... So Quantic Dream makes story-based games. The problem is they never execute well. Like, in no cases do their games actually, like, from start to finish, in my opinion, and again, other people fucking strongly disagree and love those games, but I think they've never actually executed the full game. Like, in many cases, because they, for some reason, love the supernatural elements. At the end of, for example, Fahrenheit 9/11, and this is a spoilers for a 10-year-old fucking game, he turns into like this superhero, and like it starts off as like this fucking like gringe, totally gritty. Like, you wake up in a bathroom and there's blood all over your hands, and like there's a dead guy in front of you, and it and like going through like the streets of whatever city it was, I think it might be New York, and like going to work and all this shit. And it ends the game with you like flying through space and time, punching dudes, and like
it's fucking stupid.
It's just garbage, right? And it ends, Beyond Two Souls is another fucking example. Like, obviously it starts supernatural, but by the end of that game, it's just like you're like altering space and time. Like, it's always the same bullshit. It's always the same, like, shoehorning like overly supernatural shit into fucking like interesting premises, and that's what Quantic Dream has always done. So they're bad at story, but they've always been great at making a good premise, like an interesting premise for a game. A thing they did a couple of years ago was a animated short called Kara, K-A-R-A. You can watch it on YouTube. It's got millions of hits. Fucking, it is one of my favorite like portrayals of an android in recent memory. Like, it's like, for example, if you've seen what was that movie that came out last year with the chick, like the android chick who's like
Machina, Deus Ex?
Yeah,
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. Ex Machina. So like,
say it right.
I don't know.
Kara makes Ex Machina look fucking like a high school student did it. It is like the amount of world building and like character they put into like a 7 minute, 8 minute, maybe I think it was max 10, I think, minute short, was incredible. And part, most of that was because of the like little, the actress they got for it. I was going to call her a little girl, but she's fucking not. She was like 20 something or early 20s doing that. The actress just fucking nails the part. Apparently she's like really terrible in everything else she's done, but she was excellent in that animated short. So she nailed the part and you really get a feel for it and everyone fucking loved it. The problem is when that short came out, everyone was, the Quantic Dream was working on, I think, Beyond Two Souls at the time, or they might have been working on or finishing up Heavy Rain. It was in that kind of period. They specifically said, no, this is just a tech demo. They have no intention of doing anything more with Kara. And everyone was like, oh, that's kind of lame. Like, people who actually liked it and saw it was like, wow, that's actually kind of lame. That looked really cool. So at Paris Games Week, and they actually came forth and said, hey, we're revisiting that. We listened to the people at home who really loved the concept. We are going to make Kara into the main character of her own full-length video game. And they gave it the single worst name I've ever heard for a video game of all time.
Which is...
So,
E.T. on the Atari.
Quantic Dream's new game is called Detroit Become Human.
Mm-hmm. What?
They looked back on films and whatnot because they do a lot of research, and they found out that like AIs and robots in Detroit, there's a lot of like traction for that city, I guess.
What?
they're talking about maybe having someone like one of the big bad guys be like a kid who's a drug dealer.
In a rundown fucking former GM car plant? What is this? Wait, Detroit? Yeah. Wait, did you repeat that?
Detroit colon become human.
Become human.
What? Wait, Detroit become human?
I guess the idea that they're going with is like
the city becomes sentient.
The city's full of robots.
What
because
does that mean?
That's where like
that sounds like a documentary about how Detroit's a super rundown.
It was pretty great. Like they had
coming alive again.
They had this like great thing where he's like, so we went on like, we traveled the world looking at cities. Like, because they hadn't actually announced the name at this point. So to rewind, so they hadn't announced the name. They were like, we've traveled, when we finished Kara, we didn't want to make a game centered around Kara because the question of what she does when she leaves the factory wasn't really answered. So when we thought about revisiting Kara, we wanted a world for her to inhabit. This is me just paraphrasing. So we went around the world and looked at cities, and we found one that just felt perfect for the story we wanted to tell. This city, we feel, has residents and a feeling that just emphasizes everything we want to know about, we want to say about our new video game. And that city is Detroit. And I was like, what? What are you talking about?
I'm sure the people in Paris love
in
that.
Fallout 4 isn't called fucking Boston, the post-apocalypse, right? What?
But the crazy thing is, right, they got the chick back from Kara. Like, let's just say they should just call the fucking game Kara. Because like, that was so obvious, and they just sort of gone with that. But they got the chick back who played Kara, and I actually really love the sentiment put forward in the trailer they put out, which I may link to you guys in a bit. But
really, because I thought it was hot garbage.
I liked the music and her voice acting. The script was terrible.
Okay,
so everything that's important in a game
it had one good line. I had one good line in that whole fucking trailer. In the middle there, where she's talking about like, why she thinks she has life. Like that line that she says, and I don't want to say it because I would just butcher it because I don't remember it fully, is actually really well written and really nice.
I mean, but Fallout's already doing that thing about robots being human.
Well, fucking
I mean,
everything's done it.
The line in the trailer is, "Would you die for another?"
He had the gall to stand up there and say, like, he had the gall to stand there on stage and goes, "We want to investigate what it means to be human." I was like, "Shut up! That's like everything since fucking Blade Runner. Fuck you!" Like it was. Oh my god, it made me so angry. But I really think that this could be awesome. I actually
even
really
though it's
like
called
it.
What
Detroit Become Human.
Become Human. Yep. That's RoboCop, famously known as Detroit Robot Police.
Like what? This is actually the first Quantic Dream game I've ever looked forward to because I really like
even
that
though it's called Detroit Become Human.
Yeah,
that...
I know.
I don't know if I'm gonna be excited. I mean, like,
if you can't name your game correctly, there's something fundamentally wrong about like being able to build a world around. Oh, have you heard about the game Detroit Become Human? Oh, it's the living city of Detroit. Does it become human? No. It's like RoboCop. Then why is it called Detroit Become Human?
Because
it's like Detroit represents about robots, man. We did the research.
We thought that Become Human was like the tagline of the game, which would be fine. Like if the game was just called Detroit.
Like okay.
It could be worse. Like could be better, but it could be worse.
I guess the big question here is...
That's so misleading if the game is called Detroit. That's a documentary about, you know, like social revival
cars.
And... Or cars or something. Yep. What the fuck is Detroit Become Human? What is that?
Is there something in this title that is lost in translation that like we're
French?
Not like
I don't
almost 100% probably.
C'est le Detroit become a human.
I can't do a
French accent. The fact that he acted as if they were the first to explore like the fucking
and
synthetics.
Then had the gall to call it Detroit Become Human.
Fuck me. I actually really do love... mainly because I watched...
the train wreck, and then people can say, remember...
Because I watched the conference in post, and the moment before he walks on stage, there's like a snippet of the Kara short. And I was like, oh shit, it's Quantic Dream. I was like, oh snap, Kara, I want to watch that again. So I paused the conference and then watched Kara and then played the conference and he announced the game. So like for me, it might have been like a perfect kind of little... circle of
even though it was called
Detroit Human,
where your dreams come true.
I told you it's like the worst game I've ever like name I've heard of.
Tagline Become Human just as much as Detroit. It's awful.
It's I don't know what's its own this year. Like you have
it's like if
Second
you call
Son,
the game World War II, the War for Freedom. It's so bad.
Like Killzone, Shadowfall, Infamous, Second Son, Horizon Zero Dawn, Detroit Become Human. I do not
I mean,
get
at
a
least,
colon
at
in the middle
Horizon
of
Horizon isn't just the name of a place, and then you just stick a tagline on it.
And Horizon looks fantastic, but I think this game.
I'd like to announce my next game project. Oxford:comma.
Oh boy.
And with that, that's pretty much all the news I had. Like there's not much has happened in gaming.
Oh Jesus Christ.
And in general, like I can't really think of much that happens in games for the last fucking 2 weeks.
Fallout 4 came out.
Yeah, Fallout 4 came out. I don't know. We're gonna talk about
that
in a minute.
That's a shit name.
And,
you know.
The first, I was actually there at the opening of the first Microsoft store in Australia, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, you guys haven't had it on Microsoft store
I'm
yet?
Sorry you had to be there for that.
I'm so sorry you had to be there.
I was like, to be fair, I didn't like just go to the event. I kind of just was walking past because I was on the way to a conference. But like, there was like a grand total of 10 people in line when I was first there.
Benefit of being in line for a Microsoft store?
Well, they had like $200. It was $200 off of Xbox One, which I think was
okay. That's fair.
I almost went for it, but it was like I was walking past at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and it opened at 10, and I had a conference to go to, so I was like, and at that time,
the store opens at 10. That tells you a thing or two about the Microsoft store.
It's
you know what they're doing.
The main thing was like how derivative it looked. Like it was a massive glass fronted fucking store that looked exactly like an Apple store.
It knows exactly what it's trying to look like.
Yeah. It was pretty shit. Like, in terms of like just like my respect for it as a venture, I thought it was so they're like sales on like Surfaces and Xboxes and whatever. Like it was interesting, but it was sad because I think we had like some like franchise Microsoft stores in Sydney before, but this is like the first like real big Microsoft store, and it hadn't struck me how much they were trying to ape Apple until I saw it myself.
It's called the Microsoft store.
Life is Strange 2 has been kind of announced. Like, speaking of Life is Strange, over the last couple of weeks, that happened. Shrug. Like, I don't want to play that game myself, so hoping that Vinny and crew finish it, like, I'll probably be looking forward to it. By the time
we'll play it together.
It has a different cost, though. There's a whole different cost. They want to like make
but
it. Like,
I'm sure they'll ape. Like, it's made by the same people who made Gone Home.
As long as there's teen drama, man. As long as
you can sort of expect, like, you know, you're gonna get some gold in terms of, yeah.
And there's. Wow, Doubleton just reminded me by the
I mean, game. I could say it, but you were hosting.
Yeah, fuck it. It was funny.
BT Dubs.
Yeah. I'm really bad at
Activision
reading.
Blizzard, the conglomerate of just everyone, like, a lot of very big games, Call of Duty, Guitar Hero, World of Warcraft, all the Blizzard titles. Well, okay.
Overwatch
coming out, Hearthstone, mm-hmm. Already a big game on the mobiles. Decided to buy King Games for $5.9 billion.
$5.9 billion.
King Games. You might have heard them come up previously as on this show months ago as a company that I generally really really hate. It's not because
Candy
they make
Crush, right? Candy Crush?
Yeah, they make Candy Crush. They make a lot of just like really effective mobile games.
Effective in the worst way possible. Like,
I shouldn't say make per se, because they copy ideas that other people have done, and then when those people pipe up saying, "Hey, you're stealing my IP," and then like, here's proof that I made this game, I put it out for the world for free. It was just for like my mom, which is this is a real story, by the way, for Candy Crush Saga. Someone actually made this game before King Games, and what King Games did is they bought another studio that had made a game for like in legal reach, similar to Candy Crush, before this other guy that was an exact clone of Candy Crush, or rather Candy Crush cloned the exact copy of, just so they could shut him up. And I think sue him, I think also. They made it so that the makers of Stoic Games, the makers of the Banner Saga, could an IP on their game, The Banner Saga, which is a story about a Norn tale, because it's got the word saga in it, because Candy Crush Saga, a match three game about candy, is more of a saga, and they have the IP on that. I really don't like King Games, you guys. Like,
I'm just looking at their wiki page. They have like 1,400 employees. They're bigger than I thought they were.
They're a big deal.
Yeah.
I just don't like...
$2.26 billion a year operating income. $661 million a year.
They have a lot of statistics. They have a lot of information and whatnot about mobile and Activision Blizzard.
Can I read the list of games? Can I just read this stuff out?
Go for it.
Okay. Bubble Witch Saga. Pyramid Solitaire Saga. Candy Crush Saga. Pet Rescue mm-hmm. Saga. Papa mm-hmm. Pear Saga. I need to... It's Papa Pear, not Bear. Papa Pear Saga. Farm Heroes Saga, Pepper Panic Saga, Diamond Digger Saga, Bubble Witch 2 Saga, Candy Crush Soda Saga, Alpha Betty Saga, and Scrubby Dubby Saga.
What do those words mean?
fuck these guys. They don't mean anything.
Fuck these guys. What that sounds like.
But combined, they mean that the lawyers can sue the crap out of you if you try to make any game with those names.
Essentially, they all appear to be match three swapping tile games, according to Wikipedia. That's kind of what they're all like. That's fucking... Hey, man, they got that market cornered. They got that saga market cornered. Fuck you. But the main thing is, like, okay, so they make a lot of money a year. Right. But part of me really hopes that this is a terrible financial decision and this aids Activision in a long decline. That's what I'm thinking. Because I think it's crazy.
Blizzard games anymore. I don't care anymore if Blizzard goes under.
It's like the thing is, right, the apt comparison is like this is a and the one that made me really angry when I first heard the story, and I'm surprised I forgot about it leading into this episode, but Disney bought Star Wars for like $4 billion, and this was $5.9 billion.
Wait, no, was it $4 billion?
Yeah,
must have been more.
Yep. Okay, let's do our fact checking. Disney
Star Wars purchase. You're right. $4 billion. $4 billion. Ridiculous.
And this is $5.9 billion. This to Activision was apparently worth more than Star Wars.
That's fucking ridiculous. What? Right? No, but, no. What's shocking is Star Wars is only worth $4 billion. Anybody could have fucking bought Star Wars.
But like, so
what is this?
So here's the thing, right? The main difference is this is a company, not an IP. You don't have to make an investment beyond the initial for it to make a return. For Star Wars, you have to make investments.
Yes, the returns for Star Wars are on a different level. The returns for the saga of Alphabetti Soup or whatever it's called. That's insane! What?
I know, right? That puts in perspective.
Star Wars is going to be like $12 billion or something like that. But if anyone can just sell their fucking IP for $5 billion... Wow, that's crazy.
But it was like one of those things where with the Disney Star Wars purchase. Oh my god. Disney bought Marvel for $4 billion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of Marvel. Fuck.
What the fuck is the video game industry doing? I don't get it.
Oh, I've lost my train of thought. I can't even believe that.
Imagine if Activision owned Star Wars, like what they could do with that.
Like, oh my god! Like, oh yes, yeah, so I was saying, George Lucas sold to Disney because they sold him on being able to like bring like continue the legacy of the franchise, right? Like they sold him on.
Which he wasn't doing a good job of doing that.
Exactly. So, like I think yeah. Somewhere in his deep dark subconscious, he knew that he wasn't doing a great job of it. So they sold him on not just like being like the owners of it, but they sold him on being the shepherds of Star Wars. I don't think Activision could have bought Star Wars from George Lucas.
But even for $8 billion, you think a man who loves money so much, you know, yeah. You take it.
How many billions do you need me to write on this check? Yeah. Like, holy shit. But yeah, like that puts in perspective, right? And like the argument I was making or people have made about behind like the King people being like an ongoing business. So you're not really, you're kind of getting immediate returns. They bought fucking Marvel for $4 billion. Marvel was doing pretty okay. Obviously comics were on a decline, but Marvel was kind of getting out of that as well when Disney bought them. Like, this is not a good argument. Activision just made a bad decision. Like, $5.9 billion is a stupid amount of money to spend on a fucking shitty mobile game developer. I don't think there's any way to sell that in a different direction. I don't know. But Austin Walker on JanBomb.com has like a pretty good news story on it that delves into things like offshore investments and what's his face, like wanting to increase their portfolio size to appease investors, like that kind of stuff, which is like the real reason why they did it, probably.
$5 billion come on, Star Wars.
$5.9 billion. $6 billion.
$6 billion
for King Games. For King Games.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So a couple other just news topics, I guess, to keep going, keep the train going.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that happened between recordings that is still just kind of mind-blowing and is now going to keep being a thing every Monday, it seems. Twitch started a creative channel. They've had it for a while now. It's been a long while. Yeah. There was the soft opening, and then for the grand opening, which happened a couple weeks ago, they just put all of the joy of painting with Bob Ross on Twitch, and it regularly got 50,000 people watching. It was the new like Twitch plays Pokemon, except Bob Ross plays Twitch chat by just like, here you have Bob Ross being all like super nice and gentle and kind, and then Twitch just like yelling that his painting is ruined, and also paying homage to, like, there's people like
treating the almighty brush as a thing, and like pretty little trees are becoming like emoticons, and it's madness.
It's,
you know, Twitch. Bob Ross used to be a first sergeant of a military base.
Huh.
I can see that.
He quit like to do painting because he was so sick of yelling at people for a living, which is like the antithesis of who he was in the show. I always awesome. Found that to be very good.
That's pretty cool. I think that the online community is continuing to prove that it is a crazy fucking Wild West insanity, like insane house. Like, it's, there's no way to predict what it'll latch onto, and it's when it does, it's almost always really dumb. So I'm not surprised. But Bob Ross is cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
And with that,
I get two other small little things, and then we can end it. Well, no, they're just like they're. I'm not sure if they're good talking points, but we were talking previously on the show about how Extra Life is happening or has happened and is still winding down. Again, GameSpot is doing it. Donate for the Kids. Mm-hmm. Giant Bomb Team still haven't reached their goal. If you can throw $100,000 their way, but still,
why is their goal so high? Oh,
because we've always surpassed it, and
yeah, we've always had really low goals, and it's been really dumb.
Well, no, I mean, like last year it was $100,000, and yeah, we got there. Mm. And then considering the past 4 years, is it past four or 5 years? We've total donated like $1 million or something. Pasquale did a tweet about it. Mm. There's another thing called Operation Supply Drop, which is just about getting, like, I think active soldiers or the idea is to get video games to active soldiers, mm-hmm, serving our country, at least in the U.S. I'm not sure. I don't think Operation Supply Drop does other countries in the United States, so I'm not sure why a Canadian and Australian would have opinion on this. But the founder of the charity has left the charity. It's there's an article on Polygon by Charlie Hall. It's a pretty big read, and I think they've done like a second article about it. It's kind of a thing. I don't know if you guys have any words to opinions on that or what have you.
None whatsoever.
Fair enough. Here's something you might have an opinion on, in that you are or for it. Are you familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Yes, I'm familiar with at least the concept of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Joel, I'm going to botch his last name, Hogston, the creator of it, is trying to reboot it with a Kickstarter. He's got 28 days to go. Anybody who does know Mystery Science Theater 3000, it is a pillar of many a comedic person's like childhood, I guess, growing ups. Basically, the concept of talking and ribbing over a show. And check it out. If you know what it is, you probably already know about the Kickstarter and donate towards it. He's trying to get 2 million at the time of recording. He's at 1.6 mil. So he'll probably get it. I'm confident he will make his goal, but you could help make it an awesome thing.
Yeah. That's influential.
It's a lot of money.
MST3K is fucking great. Is fucking so good. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Cool. All right.
Finally, they should have made a Kickstarter to buy Star Wars. They probably could have done it.
They made a Kickstarter. Well,
who would get the rights?
A company, like a small company. It's like, yo, we'll make the movie. Trust them.
Yeah, but no one would believe that making something good.
Yeah, but people are stupid. They put in plenty of money into Kickstarter. Yeah,
they've made Kickstarters to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
All right. I've been wanting to talk about Fallout all day, so I'll be fucking ending out this show now.
I guess, yeah, go set up plugs, and I'll give my plug. Sorry.
Yeah, so, Darbleton, plugs.
Yes, hi! I've mentioned a couple of things, which I'll have to listen back to this, and then whoever's posting it, I'll link them. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I do want to talk about is, that is a good read, is what's the guy's name? Jake Soans. The creator of a game called Zombie Match Dungeon. Mm-hmm. I want to say Zombie Match Defense. It's an iOS game. It's he is legit been a part of like really good quality games in the past, and this was his approach of going out and being indie. Mm-hmm. But he does a very good write-up about like the mobile market and the multiple things he could have done to make his game sell good because it didn't. And he actually gives some hard numbers about how much money he made and all that.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's a good cool read. It'll be in the show notes. I retweeted it on my Twitter if you follow me for some reason. Mm-hmm. Twitter.com/ConradKirby. Also follow us at the Lincoln Cast.
New Barama, any plugs?
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic or what the fuck is the name of the game? Star Wars The Old Republic. Play that game. It's a good time to start.
Yeah.
PC Gaming Hub, as always.
Mm-hmm.
And Fallout 4.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second. I can't wait. Myself?
Or we've already talked about it. Or are we doing... I'm confused.
This is the start and that's the end. We're going to finish out the show talking about Fallout.
Like, oh, wow. Okay. So I thought you were just going to stick this at the very end. I've ruined it.
Yeah.
It's too late.
I have been, as I said earlier, watching Life is Strange, and I couldn't have done that as enjoyably without the Giant Bomb chat. People wouldn't necessarily know that part of a specific community website is to actually archive the Giant Bomb chat. So, like, yes, it's pretty funny when Vinny Caravella does something funny, but it's even funnier when you have the whole chat reacting alongside you, and you can also get it. If you download the video and play it just right, you can get the chat in sync with the video, which is even more awesome, which is what I've been doing. But anyway, quicklookcrew.com or qlcrew.com is the actual URL, is a community website which allows you to watch all of Giant Bomb videos. If you're premium, you can watch premium videos through there. But the main thing is there's people on that website who archive chat. So it brings up a chat client just like you do when watching Giant Bomb live. But it's all the actual archive of it. Obviously, they have little privacy things in there. If you didn't know that you were being archived, you might want to go on there and tell them not to archive you. But in general, if you like watching Giant Bomb shit live but haven't been able to because, for example, you live in fucking Australia, it is awesome. It is great to be able to watch, like, Unprofessional Fridays and stuff with the chat running on the side. It's been really enjoyable, and I'm really happy they've made this. It's been around for a while, but it's pretty cool. It also is a massive database, so you can do like a lot of different types of searching, like searching quick looks by who's in it. So if you want to watch some like Ryan Davis's quick looks, for example, you can just filter by him, and it'll just bring stuff he's been in. And like has such a great like list of ways of like making playlists and having playlists going for what kind of videos you want to watch. So that's qlcrew.com. That's my plug this week. And with that, Thurbleton.
Yeah.
I think you're not are you not sticking around for the Fallout
stuff? No, I'm not going to stick around.
All right.
You don't want to hear everything that happens in Fallout?
It's not that I don't care about the spoilers. Like, it's just I don't give a crap about the spoilers of this game.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. You don't care about
I just
that.
Don't see any topic on it. Like, it's not that spoilery to me.
Well,
I don't know.
No, but we're also going to just talk about... We haven't talked about Fallout at all. We're going to talk about all of Fallout. We're going to be talking about...
All of Fallout. I'm going to spoil the game for Cynic, and it's going to be great. He'll never be able to
I don't
Fallout.
Want you to spoil the game for me. I don't want you to spoil
oh,
the game
okay.
For
me.
All right, well, then I just want to say something before I go.
Go ahead.
So, at work, there's... I pay the bills by working at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Target had a special deal with Fallout release of having a limited release of Jones Soda.
Oh, shit. That's right. They only sell that at Target. I read that and I'm like, fuck, I wish I lived in the U.S.
That's funny.
Which was a Nuka. It was labeled Nuka-Cola, but it was the exact same flavor as a flavor of Jones Soda.
Like berry something? Yeah,
berry something.
That's pretty funny.
We, in every store, as far as I can tell, got 12 of them. 12 bottles.
Only 12. Holy shit.
Only 12 bottles. Across the entire, like, continent of Target stores. Glass bottles, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And there were, like, half a dozen people chilling out, like, by the front door when we opened and, like, sprinted to get bottles. And we didn't, nobody at our store really considered the fact that, like, despite that several people were asking prior to all release of like if it was going to be a thing and how they could get it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody at our store and word on the street is at many other stores considered like putting them behind a counter or tying them to a gift, like purchase of the game. And so like fight broke out and like,
Oh, please tell me people shattered the bottles. Please tell me like the ultimate.
No one shattered the bottles. Oh, like, they broke one of our security things by the front entrance.
Holy shit. Okay. All right.
And so, yeah. That,
shit, you should have just kept them for yourself. I don't know what you're doing.
You're allowed to, I don't think.
Well, 500 pop.
That's the thing is they're selling on eBay for like 50. Yeah. Well, okay. They're being offered to people for people to buy on eBay for $50 to $100. Hmm. I don't know what people are buying them at. And that is the right way you should think about that stuff.
Indeed.
They're going for about $37.
That's what people are buying them at?
Hmm. Well, this is like the popular amount.
Okay. Well,
$35.
Yeah.
That's fucked
so
up.
All I can say is that Fallout fans are pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're crazy.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy. Like, they're Roma. Like,
and anybody who plays Fallout knows that joke. And I will let you guys talk about Fallout now. Take care.
Oh, I just got it. I just got it.
Because I haven't played any other Fallouts except for this one.
No, you, like rad.
Hey, what are some scorpions you fight? Yeah, let's spell this joke out.
Yeah, great. Rad, is it rad away? that you?
No, because it's like when it's displayed as like how much radiation you're suffering.
Yeah. But what's that thing? What's that ointment?
Rad away. It's rad
away.
Rad X.
It's resistance, right?
Yeah.
Fuck off, devils, and you can go away now.
Okay. Bye.
Cool. Let's see. And we are back. So essentially, we're going to talk about Fallout now that Doubleton's gone. And I don't know how I'm going to cut it because that was a weird, like, kind of exit, kind of intro, kind of whatever. But jumping back into what I was talking about earlier, this engine that they've built this fucking game on is hot.
It's an old engine. It's fucking old engine. It's a very heavily modified version of the Oblivion engine is what it is.
It is goddamn garbage. It is the fucking worst. I cannot fucking... It made me so angry. Like when I played this fucking game, like it makes me so angry. Like mouths, mouths. Let's just start with mouths, shall we? It is very difficult to care about, for example, the wife you have at the start of the game. When every time she opens her fucking face, she just looks like some goddamn monster.
It's a condition. It's a condition. That's what, just imagine, roleplay that into your game.
A condition everyone's got. Like, I just met the first companion. I forgot what it, no, second companion. What's her name?
Piper.
And she's talking to you and the fucking things her teeth are doing are just so distracting. Like, it is impossible to keep up with, like, where. Is it worse than it was in Skyrim? Because I swear in Skyrim it wasn't this fucking bad.
No, Skyrim was pretty bad. Also, like, the mouth movement was just, like, is non-existent, essentially, almost. It's very badly done.
In Skyrim, I prefer non-existent mouth movement.
It's specifically worse here because, A, like, the talking is a lot more cinematic for obvious reasons, right?
Is it? It kind of moves the camera a little bit. That's essentially it. Like, I don't...
I mean, the game also looks better than Skyrim, so you notice it naturally more.
I don't know. Does it?
Oh, yes, it does. Go play Skyrim. This game. I don't know what settings you're playing it at.
No, I just said that to make you angry. I'm playing everything on Ultra, but...
Yeah, I'm playing on max settings. I think it looks really good.
Okay, so how much of that is from you?
The textures do not look great. Okay, wait. I'll objectively say the textures look like shit, right? Yes. Especially... The dog is... especially worse than the rest of the game. I don't know why. It's actually worse. It stands out in its like horrible texturedness.
Well, no, because sometimes when he's like half the floor in that game has terrible textures as well. Like especially in the wasteland. Like it doesn't always look out of place
because randomly generated that stuff. Like they didn't work on it individual pieces, which makes sense. It's a big game.
Well, it's not even that. Like there's no normal mapping. Like I don't know what you call it, but like. There's no depth to some of it. Sometimes it looks like it's a texture that's supposed to have depth,
flat,
but it's flat. Yeah, it just looks like it's being like fucking glad wrapped over a shitty polygon, which is what it's supposed to be.
The thing that makes the game look beautiful, and which is the reason why you should spend more of that game time outdoors, is the lighting. The lighting is really well done in that game.
It's okay.
It's pretty good.
Okay,
it's
pretty good. All right. So, did you play The Witcher this year?
Yes, I played The Witcher for
about Witcher 3, right?
An hour.
Okay, so you didn't get enough time with it to see what that game does with lighting. Like this, in a year where Witcher 3 came out, and I know this is a difficult fucking discussion to have because, as correctly pointed out in the Bombcast, like this engine does more and different things than what The Witcher does. Like, The Witcher doesn't have every NPC on its own track. The Witcher doesn't have every item in the world, like almost every item in the world, like pick upable and like movable and shit. But that game looks goddamn incredible, and this game looks kind of
shitty. It's also fucking boring.
Shut up.
I found that game to be incredibly boring. It's a fact. I don't know. It's like, okay.
You're also the person who can't even finish fucking Skyrim.
I'm almost there. I'll get to it when I finish this game. Uh-huh. That's what I'll have.
Like, you struggle with fucking medieval RPGs so hard.
Yeah, I don't like medieval. Yes. No, but I like Skyrim. I like the world better.
I agree. The world in Skyrim is actually more interesting than the world in Witcher. But that's because I really love Skyrim, rather than anything else. But no, like, it's... The engine does more, but yeah, you cannot sit there and say it looks... Like, the art design's good, relatively speaking.
Oh yeah, the thing is, the engine serves its purpose by creating a certain atmosphere, right? The art style, it works well with the art style of the game, right?
Rain looks good. It looks really nice when it's raining.
Again, I think there's a section of the game called the Glowing Sea, which is essentially like an ultra-irradiated part of the game world, mm-hmm. right? And then have you run into a radiation storm yet?
Yeah, it would look pretty cool.
Like, the glowing sea, middle of a radiation storm, is like, it's like something people would pay money to visit. It's right. Like very, very good looking.
Yeah.
And I think, like, yeah. it works well with the tools it is given, which is not a lot. The game is not a looker.
Like, things are low poly count, like the guns could look kind of flat. The fact that you can customize them is kind of cool, but like half the customizations, especially like if you get the upgraded versions of the...
Yeah, the pipe guns all look ugly.
The fucking... Oh my god, pipe guns. We'll get to those in a bit.
But in terms of just like the overall art style, the overall atmosphere of the game, it's consistent, and I think it's well done.
I don't know. Like, it's consistent. I'll give you that. It's consistent. But it's also not consistent, because I'm definitely in the camp of my guy isn't as fucking freaked out as he fucking should and would be if he'd woken up after 200 years of slumber. Like,
oh, I thought we were just talking about, are we moving on to the story now?
Well, kind of both. Like, it's kind of one package, right? Like, we just talked about art design, and yeah, you're right. Like, you get this sense of, like, it's weird because, remember the character creator? Like, how long did you spend in the character creator at the start?
Ooh, 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah, same. But what did you do? Did you just make a dude? Like, what does your guy look like?
My guy.
Or chick, lady, or whatever.
Weirdly, like, I don't usually make Asian characters, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like weird. I don't like to self-insert myself into mm-hmm. my game. And then I was playing around with the settings, and then like it kind of looks like my dad now, and awesome. I just went with it. Or at least my dad in pictures of his youth. And so I'm like, okay, sure.
So So I usually make a person who looks kind of like a kind of mixed race. Like, you can't determine what race they are.
Right. I think most of the characters look pretty white in this game. Like, my Asian character looks fairly white.
So like, I usually have like someone who's like somewhat dark, like brownish of skin, like maybe kind of Arab kind of descent, but with like whitish kind of features. Like, I like mixing it up so they look kind of like from nowhere, which helps me with like just like it's in the future, so people should be more mixed, even though they aren't in the Fallout world for whatever reason. I just like that. So I did that with this game, and I made a character. And then I realized that, And his mouth was slightly smaller than you would be. Because I'm not sure if you noticed, right. But the mouths in default are actually fucking huge. Like, I have no idea why. Oh, yeah.
Skyrim especially. Skyrim is really bad with that. All yeah. mouths are, like, take up half the face.
Yeah, like half the face, right? So I made his mouth smaller. So I started the game up. And this is why it ties into the engine. The animations were such that it looked like they still had the rigging for a mouth the size of his face, but only the middle was moving. So it's like they just bound the ends of the mouth, oh, but God. Everything else was like as if
like like a fucking horror movie. Oh, Jesus.
Like, it looked fucking wrong. So I was like, okay, I just deleted that character. I just like, I was like, nope, I cannot live with that. So what I ended up doing was just taking the default dude and then like changing his hair and giving him a beard, and that's it. And that is the only way it's the only way I could be certain that the fucking rigging would be correct for his fucking face. Because
my character doesn't have a problem with him. I definitely made the mouth smaller.
Okay.
You might have chosen some fucked up option, is what I'm
saying. No, it was only like slightly smaller than normal. Yeah. Like, I just kind of made it like a normal size. Because the slips are fucked up.
They're yeah. very, very big.
And I did the same with my wife as well. Because like I designed both characters.
Oh, yeah. I designed both characters as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes back to normal, I think, after a while.
What do you mean?
Her default state?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean she goes back to normal?
Like after the game cutscenes, I think her face turns back to the default.
No, it doesn't. I don't think.
Wait, because
I know what you're talking about. FMV has the default her, and it's really fucking jarring. Because like the game starts up, and it's like this speech being given by the main character.
I thought that was really good. I thought it was quick.
It was kind of cool. Well, no, I thought it was kind of dumb because Metal Gear Solid did the war never changes thing way before this did.
No, what are you fucking talking about? Has it? When is the war never changes?
Oh my God, war never changes has been in everything, but for me the most obvious example is Metal Gear Solid 4. Where?
Wait. Oh, but War Never Changes is from before that.
Yeah, exactly. It's from everything.
Solid 4.
Yeah.
Fallout has been around way longer.
I know. Both have cribbed it from shit in the past, and I don't like it. I thought it was highly unoriginal and annoying.
But it's the thing that's associated with Fallout. You don't like. This is your first Fallout game.
This
right?
is my first Fallout game. Why? So it's not really
because if
for
you've
me.
Played all of the Fallout games, they have openings like this, and it starts with War Never Changes.
Okay,
like, that's always sure. always the right. Fallout game.
So that starts, and then it's like him in the military, and he's like walking home or whatever, and he has this picture in his hand, and that picture is of the default wife.
Yes,
and that really broke it for me because my chick was like a. Blonde hair, short blonde hair, like different looking chick, and like the picture he carries around him in that video was a fucking long brunette hair.
What I'm talking about is I went back into the vault mm-hmm. after she gets shot, right?
Yeah.
And it just was her default, I think.
Oh, weird! It's like the model inside the vault, like of oh shit.
We should
specify people at home. We're gonna be talking about spoilers getting to Diamond
Wherever.
City.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, getting to Diamond City. So up until getting to Diamond City, we'll be spoiling that. So I'm sorry for people for who we ruined it. Your wife gets shot at the very start of this game.
I mean, you'll find out immediately. So
yeah, it's like
crazy,
at the very start. Yeah, but it's,
at the very beginning. Within the first 10 minutes or less of the game.
Yeah.
And also died. Your baby gets stolen. But that aside.
And that's kind of the impetus of the rest of the game. Like your baby being stolen is what you're doing. You're trying to find yourself.
Your baby.
And it's a boy, right? I don't think you can be a girl. Like it's always a boy.
Yeah, it's always a boy named Sean.
Right. I would never name.
But
my
the
son
game,
Sean.
The game develops the baby based on your character.
Yes,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like when I made my, this is the weird thing. Like, when I made my mixed race dude, it was just like black, and I was like, I'm not that color. My wife's not that color. Why the fuck is it black? And then I made my default dude, and he's like slightly. He's not. Like the default white, he's like one shade darker, and my baby's like way darker than me, and my wife is like white ass white. I don't know what it's doing with that baby. Like the generation's kind of weird. But like the most impressive, we'll rewind a bit. So back to just want to finish off the engine stuff. So like the rigging is weird. The mouths are definitely, I just don't like them. I prefer a non-animated mouth to a poorly animated mouth. I'm sorry.
Right.
Like I prefer Guild Wars 2 mouths to these mouths, because these just actually.
You prefer Guild Wars 2 animations from cutscenes?
No, just the mouths. Just the mouths. Like, I can't speak to anything else.
You don't mouth. Like emotes in your fucking video game cutscenes.
But I appreciate that they're no longer just like you standing in front of someone and them just being the only thing in screen, like Skyrim and previous Fallouts. When like the animation, like when you're talking to people, it's better. Like they have movement. But have you also noticed that the camera isn't exactly as dynamic as it probably should be? Like,
yes. I mean, you can move the camera around.
Yes,
that's but the like, one thing. It's pretty static, like, you know, two camera, face to face, like. Switch well, reverse angles.
It was designed to be static, but then forced to move sometimes. Because like at least one conversation when you first get to Diamond City, you talk to dude in the chapel, and he's like this father. And for the first time in the whole game that I remember seeing, he's like moving around while you're talking to him, and he like goes and sits down or whatever. And the camera struggles to keep up with him. He's like walking. From right in front of you, a little bit to the right and sitting down. That's it. And the camera is struggling to keep him in frame. And I usually just don't touch it. Like,
Have you gotten into multiple people talking at once? That's when it gets fucking awful.
I haven't done that yet.
And then your character, because your character faces who they're talking to.
Yeah.
And when they're on opposite sides, your character just fucking teleport, like flips, like does this flip circle around.
Oh, yeah. I did have that. Like when you first get into Diamond City, you're talking to the mayor and Piper, whatever the fuck her name is.
Piper. Yeah.
And like at the same time, and she's on your right hand side, he's on your left hand side. Well, he was when I entered the conversation. And I'd be talking to her, and suddenly it would be like centered on the fucking mayor. And with no transition in between, like, I was like, yeah. So there's definitely parts of this which just feel fucking jury-rigged into fucking working. The physics, like, I don't really have an issue with the physics stuff. I think the physics are actually okay. It has that thing where nothing in the world seems to have weight unless you're holding it. So, for example, there's, like, a big trash can. And if you just kind of brush against it, it fucking flies against the wall and makes a massive sound, and the super mutant around the corner fucking hears you. Like, it still has that thing where for some reason, and a lot of games have this problem, I think it's just the Havoc physics engine in general, where the player character seems to have a lot of force behind him for no reason. And it tends to, like, knock things over when you accidentally brush against them for fucking weird reasons. But aside from that, I think the physics is actually pretty good. So that's something in positive. But yeah, let's move on from the engine. I don't like it. You do like it. There you go.
I don't like it. I'm just saying it's like not the worst thing in the world.
It's not the worst thing in the world. I just...
No.
No.
It just poorly compares to everything this year. I mean...
Yeah, it's the worst thing this year that I've played.
It's probably one of the worst looking games this year. Yeah. Wow. But I'm saying that the strengths in that is less about the engine and sort of how it works with the art style. And it creates a good post-apocalyptic feel more than anything.
The art style is contiguous and good. I will say that. I hate the way cars look, but that's what they went for.
That's the design of
they went for. So, I think the biggest problem I have with the art style is in the guns.
They look okay. So I don't like any of the look of the pipe guns. I think they look too ugly and awful.
Yes. Specifically, I don't like it when like in many cases they look cool. Like I like laser rifles, they look cool and a bunch of other stuff. But when the art style gets in the way of the functionality of the weapon, I have serious problems. So specifically I'm a person who, like, I just came off Destiny, I love guns in video games. I love customizing guns, I love playing with different guns. I've played with every gun I've gotten. Like every type of gun I've gotten, not every single one I picked up. But Every type of gun we've gotten, I've played with. Like, I love that experimentation inherent with massive armory, and especially with customization brought into it. Stuff like sights are important, and you cannot have a sight that's just a pipe with two screws in it as your reflex sight.
Yeah, and then you shouldn't use that sight. There are multiple sights you can put on your gun. That's like a sight you get because you just happen to pick it up, and that's the only thing that was available.
But like, shouldn't have been in the design doc. Like, they I don't know who sat there and said that was a good idea. Like, it looks it actively gets in the way of using the weapon, and that's so wrong. Like, that's
not you should mod it away. Yeah. You should not use that sight.
Yeah, just use glow iron sights, or if you can get.
I got a dot sight. I haven't used the recon scope. It's on one of my guns. I should probably use it.
I don't think
it,
you can use a dot sight on a pipe gun, can you?
Oh, well, I don't use a pipe gun because that's insane.
Well, that's where you get almost all the ammo you get is fucking pipe gun ammo.
I modified one of my other guns to use pipe gun ammunition.
Oh, that's cool. That works. Yep. But you're level 36 or whatever, so I haven't gotten
the gun.
No,
you could do that. I think you could do that. I mean, you just need to get your gun level up, I believe. Yeah,
my gun's only 2 because I'm level 12, 13 now.
Once you get to gun 3, you should be able to change a lot of your guns. Like, I changed my combat rifle to one of my combat rifles to use 32.
I haven't found a combat rifle yet, man. I need a combat rifle.
You should get a combat rifle.
Because I use 0.45, which is a really common but really strong.
It uses 0.45, yeah.
They use 0.45, and that's a really common and really good ammunition type in this game.
You think it's common? Once you start using combat rifles, it's fucking rare.
Disappears.
That's what it becomes. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not like it disappears like from units. It's constantly dropped, but you just fucking shoot a lot of those at people. Nice. Yeah. Because it's hard to... Accuracy is very bad in that game.
Let's not even talk about the engine. Let's talk about the gameplay.
Yeah.
I like shooting this game. It's not bad.
I don't know where people... Okay, so I don't know if we should really talk about this, but like people really are hating on this game. A lot of people, at least. Like the top 100 Steam reviews, like 95% are negative.
Well, fuck them. Like
I know. But like, I'm just saying it's like for some people, it's like they're insane. Like
it's got like an 89 on Metacritic. That's
oh yeah, solid, no. Like right? In terms of critic reviews, they're very positive. But in terms of
I've never cared what users say because they're always hyperbolic.
Are like, no, because A, they're comparing it to like previous Fallout games, and their comparisons are generally wrong. It's like they have rose-colored glasses of what those games are about, right?
Yeah.
Like, so in terms of shooting, they're like, oh, the shooting is so bad in this game. It just feels like a shitty, like, you know, like shoot 'em up. And it's like they don't. I guess they've never played the
apparently Fallout 3 the old ones were fucking
shooting
playable.
Just is not possible. Like it's so bad.
Yeah,
it's so unplayably bad.
Yes. I've heard they were fucking unplayable before, and this one just seems kind of average. Like it's So there's there's a couple things, right? First of all, I just came from Destiny, and that's probably one of the best feeling shooters that have been released in the last 5 years.
Well, it's based around shooting, right? It's a fault. Yeah. It's like Halo that happens to be multiplayer.
And it's Bungie. Like the one thing you will consistently hear about Destiny is that the shooting in that game, like putting your fucking trigger, so your crosshairs over a dude's head and pulling the trigger, feels incredible. It is perfect, right? This game is not that good, but I didn't expect it to be that good. This is the most comparable thing I can think of is Mass Effect 2 and 3. Like this
that it doesn't hinder gameplay. Yeah. That's the big part.
It feels like those games. Like it feels that quality, which is not perfect and not like incredibly good.
I think
but
it helps
solid.
That you can blow up people's heads. That makes shooting enjoyable, I think, generally speaking.
I still haven't gotten Bloody Mess. I haven't had the... Oh. I
don't need Bloody Mess to fucking
shoot
a junk jet and have a teddy bear decapitate someone. That's an amazing feeling.
I'm never throwing away my junk. I'm never going to use that gun.
Really? Teddy bears are pretty useless because you have so much cloth by that point.
Yeah, because money is cloth and all of them. But whatever. Like I'm a hoarder in those games, so. Anyway,
now you have a thing to use the hoarding for. It's great.
But no, that's not how it works because the whole point of hoarding is to never use it.
You need to use it to build your base.
Yeah, but then it lives on in my guns. No, but the shooting is about as the same quality as Mass Effect 2 and 3 ish. Like it's not perfect, but it's definitely
first
solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I say that in two ways. One, the actual like act of moving, and I'm playing with this mouse. I started with playing it with my PS4 controller, and it's too much of a shooter to play. If you ever have the option, like I don't have the option in Destiny, but if you ever have the option to use a mouse for a shooter, fucking use a mouse.
Of course.
So
it's an aim.
Exactly. So
there's no auto aim in this game. It's rough.
Yeah, I think that was the big difference. Like Destiny has like a really generous. Well, no, it actually has a hidden auto aim stat depending on your gun. So like Some guns like have distinct auto aim, and like, it depends on what sight you equip with the weapon. There's like a lot of stuff to make it feel just perfect. There's a reason Destiny is the best shooter in the last couple of years. But this kind of has that kind of thing where when you start the game, you have like a pistol, which is actually still probably my favorite weapon that I've gotten.
10 millimeter pistols are actually quite good.
Yeah, they're excellent because they have massive damage. Like they go up to like...
I have a silenced 10 millimeter pistol that I'm going around like shooting death claws with. It's really good. In my power armor. It's a tiny pistol.
Yeah.
That's so much damage.
It is.
The rate of fire is good and the 10 millimeter round kills.
Yeah. I think you can get up to 32, which you can double. So 64 damage per shot. And that's pretty solid. Like... even late game, like I started doing research into what you can look at late game. It's obviously some legendaries out there are like 400 damage or whatever, but in many cases, 10 mil will do the work. So yeah, it starts off with the 10 mil, and that feels great. But pretty much the first
run out of ammo. Fast.
Yeah, you run out of ammo of it, and then the first second gun you get, which is essentially like a rifle, most of the cases will probably be like a pipe laser fucking pistol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you get a pipe pistol from the dudes you kill before you pick up the laser musket.
I guess so.
Yeah. So you get a fucking pipe pistol, and that feels like absolute goddamn garbage.
Yeah, it's a shitty 32 or 0.32 round, right?
Yeah,
and it does no damage.
Yep. But the thing I'm pointing towards is the accuracy stat in conjunction with the range stat is actually really important to how your gun feels in Fallout. And that's what really changes the gameplay. Like, I didn't realize this until I started playing with fucking console commands. But in general, like, if you have a weapon, there's a couple things that makes Fallout start as feeling pretty shitty in terms of gunplay, but then end up feeling pretty good once you upgrade your guns a bit. Like, when you start the game... the sights of your weapons are usually shit, so you have no idea where they're actually aiming, especially once the recoil like kicks in. Like your second shot is usually fucking spraying someone
complete
random.
Miss. Yes, yeah. You want to wait 3 seconds, or at least your gun to go back to its default position.
Exactly.
Before you shoot.
Otherwise, you have no idea where the fucking thing's going.
Right.
Because of the recoil, and the sights themselves aren't dot sights; they're fucking random other shit. Or in some cases, you're hoping for iron sights. That's how bad the other sights in the start of this game are. Because at least that gives you some idea where your fucking bullets are going. So it starts off really shit, but then when you get into weapon customization, get into like buffing the stability, like using chokes and so on your weapons
compensators.
Yeah, compensators. Yeah. The best is I think a suppressor. Stops. I think suppressor is the best thing.
Suppressor but it kills your range.
Yeah,
so
kills
hard.
Your range. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so once you start, and so, but some stocks actually totally reduce your muzzle climb as well. Like once you start doing that, the gunplay actually reveals itself to being solid.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that it's been solid all the
shooting
time.
Shooting people in the head with like decent weapons is incredibly satisfying because you feel the weight of the gun and like the weight of the bullet like hitting that head.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, it's an accurate shot. It's not like peach shooting.
Exactly. You're shooting because there's no aim assist, and but because like the stats of your weapon really matter, it all kind of like ties up. And then you get to the point where your accuracy stat, and I think it's mainly your perception stat.
Your perception stat.
Your perception stat
is more, or your agility is for that, but your perception is for general shooting.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you buff your perception stat, it gives you like a base, like a passive increase to your accuracy of your shots that I don't think is reflected in your weapons, what your weapons actually say they have, but you have a passive increase. I console command that shit to 10 because I just fucking console command everything to 10 to get access to all the perks. Like you place those shots and they feel like they're going where you're shooting, and that's what you want to say about a shooter.
Yes.
So that brings us to the other stuff. VATS. What do you think about VATS in this game? It's really different.
Before that, where did you invest your points when you started the game?
So at the very start...
Let me just put out there. So in the in the previous Fallout games, you actually started with 5 points in everything, and then you had 10 points to add.
Right.
This game, you just start with 10 points or something like
that. No, you have 28 points total.
It's 28?
Everything starts at zero. Yeah, everything starts at zero.
You're right. You're right. It's 28.
Everything starts at one, and you get 28 points.
So you would not be able to fill out 5 on everything. You would not even be able to get to the default state, I believe. Wait.
I think you can get to 5 on everything, but you can't get to 6.
Oh, wait. No, is it 6 or 5? How many? No, there's 6 perks.
The 6 perks. So, 20, yeah, so you wouldn't be able points, to get. So 24 points is 5 in every stat. And then you've got, because it starts at 1.
Oh, it starts at 1, not
0.
Yeah.
It starts at 1. I know, because, yeah, you have, I put no points in charisma at the start, and that was a mistake. And then,
Okay, no points in charisma. Okay.
So I started with, so the way I like to play these games is looking at the perks and going backwards. So I looked up a perk list on IGN or whatever, and then picked out the perks I wanted, then went backwards. But what I hadn't factored in is how important the trade routes is specifically for charisma, and how important intelligence I already had high because I wanted science, but how important luck is in weird ways. So I started with like 6 strength, I think 4 perception or so. What's the next stat? Agility? No, it was. Let's see, there's perception, charisma's 1, intelligence 6, luck 3, and whatever the agility 2, I think it was, just to get the assault rifle perk. So the automatic weapon perk. So because my intention was to, because I don't really care. I don't like the stat investment shit in this game. I think there's enough things to spend your points on without having to.
Oh, no, you only start with 21 points, so you can't get 5 and everything.
21 points? Holy shit.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the double gating is excessive because you're gated by stat for what perks you have access to, but then you're gated by level to getting deeper into those perks. I mean,
it's to encourage you to like delve out into different kinds of perk sets and not just max out once
a single
perk.
One. Yeah. But I think that's,
and it makes sense because you don't want certain perks. There's a balance issue.
I don't think so. I disagree. So like,
there's certain okay. Let's say, for example, there's one that deals with nuclear and radiation damage weapons.
Yeah.
But it also doubles the length of your fission core at the last level.
Yeah. Well, every like level is 20 plus 33% or so, or whatever.
No. At the first level, it increases the length of your fission core by like 30% or something like that for your 100. Power armor.
It's
at the final level.
Yeah.
At the final level, it doubles the length.
Yeah.
Certain things like that probably should be left for later game, in the sense that you want to be able to, you know, you invest points into it and build it. Or like, intimidation.
You're putting
you should be able to max out your intimidation at level like.
Oh, 4. No, sorry. You're misunderstanding me. I don't disagree with there being a single gating system. I like the level gating system. That's good. Like, I like the.
But then again, it should be a single or double gating system because it wouldn't make sense for you to be able to dump all of your points into intelligence and then be able to do crazy charisma stuff.
But you can do
I'm just saying is like. It's there for a reason, and it's to make sense, and it's to make sure that your characters, like, you shouldn't be able to lockpick maximum if you decided to go with like a character that was based on strength or computers.
But you can, because you can have 10 strength and have enough to lockpick. Lockpick's only like 4 or so.
But I'm saying you need the thing, right? You need the, what is it, the, sorry, not lockpick, the computers. That makes more sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to do master terminals with 10 strength and nothing else, like,
but you
from
can.
The gate.
You can already. Because
you can.
The final level doesn't require more, is intelligence. It only requires a higher level.
You need that base intelligence, and then there's a level gating, so you can't be level 1 and unlock master terminals, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so I don't mind the level gating, but I do mind the base intelligence only because, and this is where we disagree. I think that because you can always invest your level up XP into a new special stat. Like that's common knowledge. So that little interchange there is why I disagree with your statement, because they're already admitting that you can essentially just max out everything if you want to, because there's no level cap in this game. Right, you can be a jack of all trades, but at the end of this game.
No, you can, but you can't do that immediately. Like the idea of being able to, that comes at a trade-off for like the first 30 levels when you're actually fighting and doing the majority of content.
As a person who pre-panned my initial perk set, I was already not doing that trade-off because I already had the stats for everything I wanted for the first 20 or so levels, right?
Right. Okay. So like, but you had to make that planning based on the restrictions that were already there.
And so, but what I learned from that planning is, as a person who pre-planned everything, so essentially I didn't have an issue of any form of like stat gating. I still had a lot of problems picking what to take next because all of them, especially there's many perks on there that you really, really fucking want.
Yeah, that but is the, why... they're stat gated because they're rewards for investing points into a certain stat.
Yes, but I don't. What I'm saying is they didn't need that.
There's not a real reason to have 10 luck, except unless because there was something.
There's still no reason to have 10 luck. The last thing on the luck list is pretty shit. Like, last thing on all of them is pretty shit.
It ricochets bullets and then it instantly kills other people.
If they ricochet, then they instantly kill the person who shot the bullet. I mean, that's not as good as the triple crit one, which is like 7.
Again, that's a benefit for.
But here's my thing, though. For 7. Like, the gating, I think, is just annoyance because there's so many perks there that you want. The gating that I found, because I pre-planned my character, wasn't the stat gating because I planned that away. It was, all these perks are awesome. It's really difficult to pick the next one. And I think that's the only gate they needed.
Right, but that's the problem of, like, you have to have, like, the difficulty and the problem of choice. Otherwise, it's, like, kind of... There's no real benefit to investing your points in a certain thing. Like there has to be that kind of trade-off. To a certain degree, all kinds of difficulty like that has to be artificial to give that trade-off, and so your points actually have some kind of meaning other than just like so. If you want to get a certain thing at level 10, like I really wanted intimidation, for example, you have to make that trade-off.
You're not going to be able to. Like, intimidation and the animal, the two intimidation ones at the end seem to be overpowered.
They're not. They're really not.
Well, it depends what level you are, right?
I'm max charisma, and I have.
No, I mean, it's based on your character level. So you're level 36, so everything under 36
will
be intimidated.
It's still a roll. It's still, even if you're higher level than them, that's not a guarantee.
Oh, it's still a roll.
No, yeah, you maybe only get a third of the people.
Oh, wow, okay. I thought it was like a guaranteed. No. I was like, whoa, that's overpowered. But yeah.
Aim any weapon at a human opponent below your level and gain a chance to pacify them.
Oh, okay. And even
if you're maxed out, and if you're way higher level, it doesn't actually matter, just still a dice roll.
Okay,
cool. But the point is, like, you have to have that trade-off. Otherwise, it's like kind of pointless. Why would you invest 10 in charisma if you don't need to do the thing, right?
Unlike Skyrim, I disagree in this case only because I think most of the best perks in this game are pretty early, like within the first 6 or so stats.
Disagree. Totally disagree.
Like, which one? Like, ninjas 6.
The first 6 or so stats, you have to realize that's an incredibly difficult state to get to where you have all of your skills at level 6. That's not an easy thing to do, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, of course. But
that specifically realizes you have to make that trade-off.
But here's the thing, though, right? Like, right. I could have definitely min-maxed more than I already did. Like, I picked a bunch of... I invested in some things only because I may have wanted them. For example, automatic weapon power or whatever. I put 2 into... I think it was agility for that, and I have never used an automatic weapon. I could have taken that one out and put it somewhere else, right?
Made the mistake.
And then I didn't know that, for example, at the very beginning, you get like a what's his face? That magazine that gives you one extra perk point. And you also get a bobblehead.
You can go beyond level 10.
Yeah, 10. Yeah, you can get 11. Yeah. You get a bobblehead.
I have level 11 charisma.
For perception, I think, you get a bobblehead, I think it was. Yeah. Really early on, like if I'd min-maxed even further, I could have definitely gotten even more of the uber perks that are level 6. Like most of them are level 6, not all of them. Like stuff like ninja is ridiculous, especially if you're meleeing and sneaking, which I don't. But that fucking 5x sneak attack damage is ridiculous. I'm assuming you're gonna instant.
They're in all Bethesda games, like instant kill with sneak. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So like a lot of them. But the most broken ones are level 6. The highest level ones are usually actually not that crazy. Like the science ones slow down time at low health. Like the
you would be surprised how useful it is. But specifically, the most useful thing in that tree is nuclear physicist.
Yeah.
Your double fission core.
Yeah. For power armor specifically.
Also, what is it? Intimidation, obviously, yeah. Incredibly useful.
Yeah, but those are two very low, like the strength one's just fucking shoulder charge, essentially. Like, it's not fucking exciting.
Gunsu is quite useful. It's like a guaranteed crit hit by the fourth hit and beyond. That's whatever. Really, because you're at a point where you can kill most guys with like three headshots. Later on, yes. Death Claws become a big problem.
Yeah, so like getting five headshots is with Vats. It works with Vats, right?
Yes, it's specifically with Vats.
Okay, it doesn't work outside of Vats?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so like, like some of them, yeah, it's pretty good, but like that compared to fucking the second thing on that tree is like a pistol specialist or whatever, which doubles the strength of pistols with five fucking points. Like, you can see the difference. Even though that's a 50% bonus at max.
Well, it doubles the strength of your pistols at level 42 after you've invested five
which is
points.
This is why I like the level gating. I do not like the stacking.
No, there is a level gate, but you need to have that other gating, because otherwise, like a thing like intimidation shouldn't be only gated by level, because it only makes sense that it would be relevant to your charisma.
Your argument is making sense in terms of it doesn't need to have,
because
that.
You don't have like the dilemma of choice when you're able to put in perks into everything.
I have such a dilemma of choice. So the reason we have
your dilemma of choice is both of these skills are really good.
Yeah.
My dilemma of choice is what I'm talking about is, am I going to slowly build up my charisma even though I'm not going to be necessarily using it, so I can get this skill. So you have to consider specifically, is it worth it or not? That's what
the
I'm
answer
saying.
Is always no, though, except for
it isn't. No, not no, necessarily.
I actually can't think of
someone. Intimidation is so worth it.
Yeah. Now that you've told me it's a percentage chance,
it's not worth it. Tell other people to murder other people and get away with it as like it wasn't your crime.
My character wouldn't do that.
No, but I'm just saying you could do that as thing. Yeah,
it's if that's what. But then why didn't you put in charisma near the start? You could see the perk list from the beginning of the
what
game.
What I was trying to lead up to is when I started the game on hard difficulty, and I went 9 charisma, 9 intelligence, 2 agility, 3 2 endurance, 2 strength, 3 perception.
Right.
And I fucking found the game to be so difficult. Yeah. It was unplayably hard. That's how hard it was. And then I lowered the difficulty back to normal
and I'm not the only one experiencing this. This is the hardest Fallout game on normal that's ever been put out. I get my ass kicked.
I normally play my Fallout games on hard, but it's sort of like I normally don't dump points into endurance. I usually do the charisma intelligence split, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is there's a difference between having 5 endurance and then having like 2 endurance. Like the base starting levels are so different that you're essentially getting squashed so hard per hit. Because
I didn't notice the difference between 5 and 10. I didn't notice the difference at all.
Health, it's a big difference on health and your sprint. Yes.
Sprint is so noticeable. I wasn't sure what stat, because so we stop arguing over this one point. Like, we disagree. We have different stances on this point. How this culminates is I just went fuck it and set all my stats to 10 so that I could choose from every perk.
So you've solved your problem.
I have no problem with the game. Like this is a difference in perspective. Two things. So I set every stat to 10. The first thing I noticed was sprinting specifically. I am shocked they have that direct a correlation, because I thought like the endurance, I didn't know endurance changed how much you sprint, because it doesn't change your actual AP gauge, does it?
No, it changes the action point drain from the sprint. So your AP stays the same,
exactly,
but the amount it drains. So that's it's so high random. Agility and high endurance. You can't just have endurance for that.
Right. So. And so it's really random to me, because it was ludicrous how short a sprint I had even at 5 endurance at the start of this game. Like, because you could barely sprint anywhere. I just never sprinted because it wasn't worth the AP gauge drain. Like, it just made the trip through the wasteland even more annoying. Yes. But when I set it to 10, now I can actually sprint for a decent amount and still have half my AP gauge. And that's awesome. And later on, I'm going to take the perk that increases AP regen. So it's like, there's things that feel better about the game when you have everything at 10. Like, you can carry more was the second thing I noticed. Like, it gave me like 100 more carry capacity by maxing out my strength versus 6 I think I had at the start. So like it was awesome. Like I can now actually go through a whole dungeon and put most of my shit on myself from dog meat and still walk out without having to go back to town multiple times during a dungeon, which I used to do. Like I used to literally walk out of the dungeon, bamf it back to town, deposit my shit, come back, and then go through more of the dungeon. I cleared the dungeon like two rooms at a time because I kept filling up inventory space, which I'm going to fix later because there's apparently an inventory space console command, right?
Yeah, I sent it to you, I believe.
Yeah. So like the last thing was I wanted to talk about before, VATS. So VATS went from almost useless to incredibly usable with all my stats at 10. It actually is the point where I'm choosing between, hey, do I want to kill this guy with my skill or do I want to kill him with VATS? And usually it comes down to like, is he popping up behind cover? Because if he is, VATS slows out his time. So I can actually hit VATS, program multiple headshots, and then close VATS. So as he's popping out of cover, I nail him and then before he goes back into cover. Like, it's awesome. Like, I can actually use it as a different part of my arsenal rather than just relying on shooting, which is what I was doing before, and actually feels like an interesting, different kind of game, which I assume is what it used to feel like before they nerfed VATS. I don't know. But it's really nice now. How do you like VATS? Do you like the changes?
I don't use VATS a lot because I have, like, 2 points in agility. So I can't... A, like, I can do 3 VATS shot before my AP is gone. And 2, it's like... From unless I'm point blank, my percentages are like 30% hit chance on torso. It's ridiculous. Yep. So I've mostly been focusing on getting really close to people or intimidating people from far away and mm-hmm. helping and making them attack their teammates, which nice. I found to be a highly successful choice.
That's nuts that you can make them attack their teammates. That doesn't even make sense. Like intimidation.
And then I don't have 3 yet, but essentially you can just order people to do things and make them your follower, essentially. So what I do is I maxed out Lady Killer, and then I specifically just target women to attack their friends is what I've gotten to. It's pretty good.
So here's the thing. Even though I've set all my stats to 10, I'm still doing a self-limiting of like, I'm still going to follow my original plan, which is I actually wrote out what I was going to put my points into.
You're crazy. Fucking crazy. It's a player game.
That's just how I play games in general.
That's how I play MMOs. That's not how I play single-player games.
The single thing that made – actually, it's how I play D&D. It's how I play like all RPGs. It's like I plan out how I'm going to build my character. Especially with D&D, because like you have to have like source book and like feat name and like feat level, feat requirements. Like D&D is where I started doing this, is like listing out everything I was going to build my character.
You
into.
Fucking nerd!
Fuck yeah! So I did that. So I'm going to follow that. The only exception being trade routes, because fuck you. That's the one thing that really fucking annoyed me. Having to have like having your stash fixed to a location.
Oh yeah.
Unless you open up a trade route, which you need 6 charisma to do, that pissed me off.
Become a local leader. Hey, opportunity cost. Economics 101. Let's go.
6. You need 6. It wasn't even like 3 or 4. It's 6 to get to fucking local fucking dude, so you can fucking make a trade route. Like
yo, cost. Things cost.
It's maybe so annoyed. Gotta make choices.
Decision making. That was choices matter.
Bullshit. I didn't know that. Your stash would be stationary without that. That's garbage. Yep. Wait a minute. Anyway, so I really like what this all boils down to is you can approach it 2 ways. On console, you can duplicate the I'm special book and get it up that way. On PC, you can just use a console command, but by duplicate, there's like a couple of ways to dupe items at the moment. So you can just look up one of those and use that.
Or you can just use the item and then find it on console and then just...
That's what I mean. So on PC, you can just... You don't even need that. You can just set character fucking thing to 10. And I recommend it. If you don't like the way shooting feels at the moment, you don't like how short the...
You can also just max your bottle caps.
That's... There's reasons to do it. Like, I don't think...
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I'm just going to say, it's a single-player game. Yeah. I don't think anybody should feel guilty. Like, that's true. You're playing an RPG, right? It's like, you can role play your character as however like somebody who found $1 million. That's like fine, whatever. Yeah. I think it's dumb to be like for people to like criticize people on their single player game decisions. Like that's that
fair.
Matters.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That's fair. Yeah, I take it back. Like just do what you want. But
yeah,
but I recommend. Always,
people don't like carry weight. That's like the most common criticism of like games with carry weight in general. Absolutely. It's like that's it's like a classic RPG thing,
that's,
right?
That's another thing. The way I'm doing that is I'm going to wait till I unlock the third carry weight thing before allowing myself to use that cheat to increase my carry weight to like 1,000 or whatever. Like I'm gating myself, and I feel that's like a good way of doing things if you're going to break the game. But yeah,
it's
like,
fine.
What,
like
what do you use bottle caps for? Like I except
ammo,
for ammo,
ammunition,
ammo, right?
Ammunition, screws, and oil. Those are the three things I've been spending my money on. Screws because they're like the essential, and aluminum, they're like essential components to weapon building. Oil because you can't build enough fucking turrets before your settlements get raided. Just gotta build a lot of turrets.
Well, your max settlement people is 20, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So I looked it up. So 20 people, and I think the general consensus is your security number has to be greater than your water plus your food. And if you do that, then there's way less raider attacks. So,
But I mean, I'm at a settlement that has like 45 food and 50 water.
Whoa.
Because that's my central settlement. Because once you have your trade routes connected, you can just feed all of your other settlements.
Oh, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you do level two, I don't know. It's just like once you have a supply route.
So that's what I thought it meant when I looked up the perk list before I started the game, which is why I was even more angry when I found that the stash had to. Was connected to that.
Yep.
That's
what a supply
sense.
Line does. Yeah. It carries your shit around.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, you don't have to fucking build food at every. So I've specialized certain ones that do power generation and whatever. And then I build like workshops and things like that.
Right.
But,
and you have one like centrally guarded one with all the food.
Yeah. There are also quest related things you need to build and they require a lot of power. So
that's
depends on what you
want. That's difficult though, because. Yeah. Like you can only have one person per like tower or whatever, so that's a maximum of 20.
That's my turrets.
Defense.
Turrets.
Exactly.
You need to build turrets.
You need a lot of gears.
And that's why you need fucking oil.
Yeah.
You need so much oil.
You need
my
gears
God.
And oil and screws.
God damn. That's why you when you get I think the scrapper perk, you can scrap weapons for screws, aluminum, and oil, and like nuclear material.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's on my list. I want that so bad. After,
but
I want the ammo perk because apparently that's really good.
Yes, you want ammo in general.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Always want ammo.
Yeah.
The cap collector is really good because you need bullets always, all the time.
So if you mean cap collector in order to buy ammo is what
you need. That's what I'm saying. It's like there's no real way to do it other than you just get a lot
it's
of
so
ammo.
So annoying that you can't craft ammo. Like, honestly.
No. That's weird. You can craft your guns. But, oh, no, you can't craft guns. You can only modify guns.
Yeah, you can only modify guns.
You used to be able to craft certain weapons, but they've turned them all into you just find them in the game.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it seems like an obvious thing for a game that's so focused on crafting, but not really.
I haven't gotten a chance to play with it yet, but I only just got my first assault shotgun today. Like I was waiting for... I thought you'd be able to mod another shotgun into an assault shotgun, but you can't.
No,
like,
you have to. You can't.
Yeah, you have to find it.
I mean, you can turn certain guns automatic and things like that. So, like, fundamentally change what that gun is.
Yeah.
Same with changing, like, I just got, like, a regular hunting rifle to shoot 50.5 caliber rounds. So, it's just a pumped up, like, souped up sniper rifle.
Yeah, it's just an actual just, like, real sniper rifle. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's, like, in that way, but you can't, change from gun to gun through modification.
Well, yeah, like the name will change, but it'll essentially still be the same thing. Like if you put like a stock on some of the pistols.
No, I mean, like you can fundamentally change the function of the gun, but it won't be a totally different gun. Like
it won't go from. Well, it's hard to say. Like, what is a totally different gun? Vertical is
No. In the sense, like it's not a different item. You can't change it.
Right. It's still like a variant of the same item.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in specific terms, like its stats will essentially be in the same grouping. Its visual design will look the same roughly, even though it'll have like some modifications on it. It won't be like the difference between an alien rifle and a fucking normal rifle. Like you can't make a normal rifle look into an look like an alien rifle or work like an alien rifle. So in terms of mechanics, like our differences aside and how we think the perks system should work, I love it. Now that I've modded it to fucking give myself 10 in every stat.
The game or the perk system?
I just love all the mechanics in the game. I love every single mechanic I've seen.
It's a good game, isn't it? Yeah. It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. I think the major problem I have with it is the next thing we're going to talk about. And the last thing we're going to talk about, because I actually want to get back to playing it before going to sleep tonight, is the story.
Okay, so let me just start off by saying a lot of people have complained to me about the story mm-hmm. when the game first came out in the first 10 hours.
Yeah.
By hour 25, people are like, this game is fucking awesome. This story is really good. Okay. That's so good let me just say this as like what these games are. They're not great main stories. The game is all about the world in general, side stories, things you find at random on unmarked locations. Like little stories that tell through like the placement of a bunch of junk, like a bunch of bodies right outside a portable Fallout shelter and a dude with a party hat filled with vodka in like the little Fallout shelter. It's like things like that that add flavor to the game, right?
Yeah.
So in the sense of the main story, firstly, I'm at the point where it's sort of like the main story is all about choosing a faction and,
right.
and like fucking over everybody else.
Wait, so how does that work? Because can you join? Because I've gotten the thing to join the Brotherhood of Steel, but I don't know if I want to yet. Is that a permanent decision?
Okay, so essentially you can join the Brotherhood of Steel and then it will lead you onto the Brotherhood of Steel quest. But in terms of when the decision comes, you can join all of the factions.
Okay.
But we'll get to a point where you have to choose one to stick with and fight a bunch of the others.
Oh, okay. So your membership gets revoked from the others at some point.
Everybody just turns into an enemy, basically.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's explained well in the game. It's not like a lazy cop-out.
Yeah, I know any spoilers. So
But I think the main story really picks up later in the game. I think you should do, like, if you keep playing, you just got to Diamond City.
Yes.
Like, there's essentially been no story until
Essentially, there's been, like, no, like, the you, story yeah, I've experienced like, so far
setup.
Has been the Minuteman.
There's a setup, right? Your child's been stolen, your wife's been killed, that's about
it. I've done a lot of the Minuteman stuff, so I've gotten a lot of that.
Oh, that's not main story. That's side story.
Exactly, yeah. So I've gotten a different story. I haven't got the main story yet.
The Minutemen is like the most boring thing led by your most boring companion. Like, he has no personality. It's pretty amazing.
But he can be a companion? That's pretty funny. I don't want
to. Oh, you haven't let him been? Okay, so essentially, yeah, he can be your companion, like, almost probably a few minutes if you keep playing the Minutemen stuff.
Yeah.
But, so the key thing here is the story gets better once you hit Diamond City.
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's clear, okay?
I already love the idea of finding this detective dude who I believe is a synth. Because I've seen him in some stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like that. I love the idea of being followed by a fucking synth-ass detective dude.
Yes. Cool. But, yeah. So there's 12 companions, right, in this game. All of the human ones are romanceable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are human. I think 5, you run through your main... You find them through your main quest, right? Right. The rest, you just have to find them. Through exploring and doing side quests.
That's cool.
It's pretty good. Yeah. And that sort of fundamentally like is what this game is about. Sort of like all of the other shit. Same with Skyrim, right? Like the main quest was fucking god awful.
Yeah.
Like the best parts were like the companions, the Brotherhood, the Civil War quests. Like that's where it was at. It's the same thing.
The Civil War quest was pretty... But the companions
Some people liked it, right? Yeah. But I'm just saying like that's where the meat of this game is. So like there's one advice I could give to anybody playing this game is to just go out and explore and find new things.
Absolutely. The best way to approach this game and how I've been approaching it is this is Skyrim, but Fallout.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good example.
Treat it like a Skyrim game. This is my first Fallout, so other people would be like rolling their eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
But I treat it like a Elder Scrolls game. I'm exploring
That's what these games are, right? Yeah. Since Fallout 3.
I'm crafting. I'm specking into crafting because you can always make the best items in the game, usually in Skyrim and so on. And specking, and conversation tree matters more than it does, I believe, in Fallout. Sorry, in the Bethesda games, really. But really important this. But aside from that, like the exploration, the things on your compass that are like grayed out that you should probably walk in that direction because not that far away mm-hmm. and you'll discover some new area that probably has its own little story.
All of them, there are specific areas that are like, if there's a lot of fan service for Fallout fans, like things they've never seen but they've always wanted to see kind of things. Characters from Fallout 3, like references and nods to all of that stuff.
Hmm.
But like, I think even without all those references, they're excellent self-contained stories around the world of the Fallout games.
Yeah.
And it's very dark is what I'll say compared to New Vegas. And it's more it's, like
it
in Fallout 3.
Dark, man. It started with your wife getting fucking shot.
Well,
in front
not
of
the main story, but if you do read terminals and things like that, Do you read terminals?
Yeah, I mean,
the great thing about this game, which is weird because the dialogue in this game is generally pretty flat and bad. Mm-hmm. I think we'll talk about that in a little bit because I do want to talk about the dialogue really quick.
Yeah.
But the terminal logs are just depressing, like incredibly depressing.
That's kind of why I stopped reading them because there's that one note.
They're fucking grim. I remember in Fallout 3, there was one that it sticks with me because it was so horrific of this like nurse who set up like a field tent right after the bombs fell and everyone's dying of radiation. And like her last log is how hair's falling out and she doesn't want to tell everyone because like it would lose hope for everyone. It's like so grim. And it's like you have the same things where it's like you have the stories and a lot of them have like twists where you go into like a factory and everyone's been cordoned off, right? All of the scientists have been cordoned off for overtime work and they're not allowed to leave the factory, right? And then you discover like all of the factory or the scientists are talking about, oh, like the boss is like this horrible person. Has he gone crazy and things like that?
Yeah.
And then you read the boss's, the CEO's terminal and he's trying to protect them from the nuclear fallout and like the looting going on in the outside world.
Yeah, it was really
cool. Like, oh my God.
I think
it's so well written.
I'm thinking of that one as well. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. It's like,
you can kind of tell the thing is with most of them, they hit that one note, but sometimes like, that's different from an area kind of having its own story. Like some areas just clearly have a story to do with them. In that case, you should definitely read the terminals. Yes. But in most cases, if you're just wandering the fucking wasteland into like some random house and there's a terminal, it's usually just some normal grim bullshit that I don't believe.
But dialogue. What do you think about...
I hate the dialogue fucking system.
The dialogue wheel, you don't like it? I hate it. I think it's fucking awful.
It's fucking terrible.
I don't get the people who are like, oh, the Fallout dialogue, they've ruined the Fallout system because the Fallout system was the Skyrim system of dialogue, and there's literally nothing to ruin there. It's already shit awful.
Yeah, but this is worse. They made it worse.
Really? This is just as bad, I think.
No, it's not any worse. You have less options, though, and you can't go back.
The worst case scenario is you're
talking to someone and there's like three options there which are like ending in a question mark that you want to know and you choose one of them because that's like I've learned to choose the one that's most like what my character would say.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Because it makes it all make sense and work. And it feels like they kind of want you to do that one. It's usually the top one. Like they kind of want you to do that one because it usually ends in a question mark. But you never get a chance to go back and fucking ask the other questions. In many cases,
it's because when you have human companions, they have they like or dislike what you say.
I don't care.
No,
I still want to know.
Your service if they really hate you.
I still want to know. Like I want to be able to like get information. Like the best thing about Mass Effect. Mass Effect had the same thing. Mass Effect had human companions that would like and or dislike what you say, but they'd like and dislike.
Oh well, a lot of the later, I don't know about the early, I don't remember having this problem because a lot of the later game conversation is like all of them tell you the same information. You just happen to be a dick saying one of them like a normal person.
And that's the worst part of it. It's like usually you cannot tell the intonation that the fucking character is going to use.
No. Sarcasm switches between being a massive cunt and being witty. Yeah, it's really bad.
It is really bad. Sometimes the question ones are like, he asks a question in a really dickheadish way.
Yeah.
Like there's one obvious one where like there's a dude when you first get to Diamond City who's talking about baseball and he's like, describing the rules of baseball, which is like everyone gets into this field and kills each other, and you're like, no, that's not how fucking baseball works.
Okay, so this is how it works, right? The right-hand one, dick. Always dick, right? Top one is like just generic questioning.
Yeah, and bottom one's nice guy.
Left one was like neutral. The bottom one is always good.
Yeah,
that's generally
bottom one's nice guy. Top one's kind of questioning, and left one... I don't know. Sometimes left one is a total dick. I don't know.
No. The right one is the total dick. The right one is the total dick.
Wow. Yeah. I've never picked the right one, so.
It's because the right one... But the thing is, it doesn't necessarily also...
Oh, right. No.
Like the moral dilemma
of
it.
The right one is like dismissive asshole. The left one is like sarcastic asshole.
Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah. Left one is sarcastic. Sorry.
Yeah. Sarcastic asshole.
Right.
It's not just sarcastic. It's sarcastic asshole.
He's a cunt. He doesn't care.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care about you. It's like someone's like, oh, my baby's burning. And he's like, I don't care. That's the right one. The left one is, haha, your baby's burning, like, I care. Like, it's fucking worse.
The thing is, the one about the left, sometimes it goes from, like, witty, it's like, oh, man, I should have brought, like, cupcakes for this. Or other times it's like, oh, you're such a dumb cunt. You totally deserve this.
Oh, my God.
You don't know where you're going. It's a mixed bag.
My character went from like being ultra nice and talking about hope to calling a guy an idiot because he's wrong about baseball.
But don't just rely on the positioning because when there's like moral choices, the bottom one is always the yes man. The right one is always hesitant and no. So if you're like
left one's like, I don't know. And top one is like questioning. Top is usually questioning, which is at least something.
Top is usually questioning,
I hate it. Yeah, it's why couldn't like Mass Effect solved this years ago? Mass Effect has a good system.
Yeah, it's
steal
like they
that.
Try to mimic Mass Effect with the wheel, and then
but only had four options.
The worst parts of all of the dialogue comes in. I don't get it. I don't get how you fuck up. Especially it's like let's voice our protagonist and then not. And then proceed to not put any ideas or thoughts into our dialogue system is what they did.
It's like they were like, hey, let's go for the Mass Effect system dialogue. And they were like, wait, this is like way more dialogue than we can write
or record. What they thought is
so they took out fucking half of it.
All we need to do is we just need to take the wheel and it'll be like Mass Effect. Okay.
God.
I mean, okay, so the thing is, that aside, the companions actually have more personality.
I'm about to have my first human companion. I can't wait. It's going to be interesting.
All of them have great dialogue because they say interesting things when you lock picks, when you hack into a computer, when you pick up items, when you brutally murder people. All of them are really, really good.
Good.
Also interject into your conversations sometimes.
Between Dogmeat, Piper, and the detective guy, who I've forgotten the name of, who's your pick? Nick.
Oh, between those three?
Yep.
So I already met my waifu. That's happened. I hope you run into her.
Give me a direction. I'm curious now. Give me a direction. Where is she?
Visit all of the vaults, specifically Vault 81. Okay. Vault 81. All Vault right. 81. Right?
Cool. Sure.
So yeah, she's like, I love her, my waifu.
Sure.
I want to talk about her companion story though, because it was the worst cop out.
We'll talk about next week. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about it, but I hope you run to her because it's like the companion story infuriated me. Especially since considering what happens in like a side thing in Diamond City. Like that made me so mad.
Okay.
But it's like I haven't run around with Nick. I maxed out Piper and romance Piper. You can romance everybody in this game and nobody cares.
Yeah. That's cool. So it doesn't matter how many you waifu.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So I did Piper. Piper's always good. She's got like the general witty, like I want to help people kind of dialogue.
She's like witty, but I think she's kind of being witty for the sake of being witty. She hasn't rubbed off the right way for me yet.
Well, because she's an investigative journalist type, you know?
I fucking
she's
hate like, that. Oh.
But that's why, again, Vault 81, you do the story quest there, right? You do the story
You're
quest.
You're building up this chick. Just all you need to say was Vault 81. I will investigate it and see what I feel about
because
her.
It's not – you don't just go in and then find her. You have to do a quest line related to the vault.
Oh, okay, cool. That's even more interesting.
All I want to hint is be prepared to fight a shit ton of ghouls.
Ghouls, I don't have a problem with this. It's super mutants that's fucked me up so far.
But
especially the ones that run at you with nukes. It's like fucking –
But what was I going to say? Oh, right. There's a place called Super Duper Mart in Lexington or Concord.
Yeah, I've been there. What about it?
It's I played it at like 4 a.m. in the morning launch day. It was pitch black.
Yep.
In my I turned off all the lights and I thought all the ghouls were dead. I was soloing this, no dog meat. I just had my Lone Wanderer perk.
Nice.
I shit my pants. I nearly shit my pants.
That's funny.
It was so creepy. Like
it is pretty good. I like that
one. So it's like I go in there and I'm like, oh, it's just a bunch of because the last Super Duper Mart in the previous game just was filled with raiders. So I'm like, I'll just kill some human beings. I'm not scared of nothing. And then they fucking come alive. Yeah, I didn't see that.
All the ghouls
beforehand. And then like I'm like, okay, this place doesn't have any ghouls, and then I walk through and then they come crawling through the windows from the outside and I'm running backwards. I just hit the S key on my keyboard and then I run into the wall, right? And I couldn't move around and I literally had to pause the game and turn on the lights and then come back and sit down and play it. I cannot take it.
I find that's another point. I really like not having the radio on.
Yes.
The ambient music is so good. Yeah, it's better than the radio.
Yes. I mean, the radio host is amazing, so I always
The really awkward guy?
Yeah, the really awkward guy. Yeah. He's hilarious.
He's pretty good.
And I think half of it is improv, because he just fucking goes off on some of the later ones, where he's just screaming, he's like, why did I do that? It's so good. But the music is so... Because I turned the radio off for that session, is why... is why I fucking got freaked out.
Yeah, it wouldn't be scary with the radio on at all.
You just see bodies dropping out of the ceiling, and you don't know what it is. Like a horror game. It's so...
It's really good.
Again, it nails the atmosphere. The game nails the atmosphere in all sorts of ways.
Yes. Yeah. That's really it. Like, I have many criticisms of the story, but then again, I've barely done any of it, so... I'll see how feel.
Do you think this is a good game of the year contender for you? Or
At the moment, it's between Witcher 3, Metal Gear, and this. I'm leaning towards Witcher or Metal Gear. But probably Witcher.
Once you play more of this.
Well, I'll see if this surprises me. I love games where you can customize guns, so that's like a massive bonus for me. I love playing around with different like weapons.
I think you should also play around with your armor.
I haven't been able to. I haven't had the ability to put in armor perks yet because I haven't had the chance. I've been investing in other shit, which I was talking about earlier. Like, there's so many good perks.
And super armor.
Super armor? What's super armor?
Or power armor? Sorry.
Oh, power armor. I don't. I think I might go through this game without ever using it.
I did that at first.
I want to see if I can fight Deathclaws and shit without it. I want to see if I can build...
Deathclaws will essentially two-hit you without power armor.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if I can take them on late game if I build correctly. That'd be interesting.
To be fair, that was when I had like two endurance,
and
that makes the game completely different.
And like without any armor mods and stuff, right? I want to see if I can like build a character that can just take out Deathclaws without power armor.
Yes.
That'd be cool. Or normal, because normal is tough. I played it on hard
for like the first hour, and that's like the super duper mart part. That's what ruined me because I was too scared to be able to play the game correctly.
Yeah,
and then it was too difficult after that.
Because it's one of those things where like I don't know if it's just because I was low level and you were low level at the time, but because Witcher I finished it on the highest difficulty. Like I tend to do this with most RPGs. I start off in normal, get a feel for it, get a feel of the systems, and then start slowly ramping up the difficulty level. I see myself not ever doing survivor mode because it's already starting off pretty tough, and I don't think I'll ever get to
survivor.
But I mean,
the one thing is Witcher, you sort of start out as playing a person who seems to be pretty confident with his sword fighting skills. You play a person who's essentially like myopic and can't see very well, apparently, and he misses all of the shots. There's no ammo anywhere, and everybody's significantly more powerful than your player.
But
character.
Even then, like the moment
the world
you
is
get
against you.
A good like reflex dot sight, changes the game. It changes
but
the game.
Once they get close, it's still incredibly. But then again, I don't know.
Then you melee weapon, right?
Yeah. But what
I
is
haven't
it?
Tried one. I haven't even tried
because I have no endurance. That's my biggest problem.
So does the shock stick? Does that use ammo at all, or is it just always
no, the shock stick? Doesn't it's just a shock.
Sick. Because you can shock make that stun. Yeah. You can make it stun. So I might just use that for a while.
I have a sword that deals radiation damage. It's pretty good.
I have nothing. Also, I've not even seen something that does radiation damage yet. So.
I have a death claw hand.
Oh, I've seen that in the tooltips. It looks strong.
But I think the radiation damage heals ghouls, so be careful around ghouls.
I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty sure the strongest unique weapon is like this knife that looks like an Oblivion weapon.
Yeah, is it? I hope it's a Skyrim reference or something like that.
It probably
like,
is.
It's a Daedric weapon.
I think it is because it looks like this like you know how Chris's like are those like kind of
squiggly like a squiggly
yeah but it's like that but it looks like it was made by Daedric people so it's like all fucking ganky and shit like it looks like it messed shit up. It's a unique weapon and it's all over Reddit of how to get it. So I haven't gotten it yet, but
I got a bunch of unique weapons, but all of them are pretty good.
I feel legendaries are better than uniques in this game. So.
Legendaries?
Yeah, because they're random. So if you roll it right, you can get.
I've only ever pick armor pieces, and they're all awful. You pick what? Awful. I don't get it.
Well, they're better than what I've got, but that's not saying much. Also, I know that higher difficulties mean more legendary dudes, so you get.
Yes, it does, which is cool. Yeah. So you actually get a benefit to doing that.
A significant
in fact, you
benefit.
Could actually, because you can switch it on the go.
Yeah.
If you want to farm, that's a totally viable option.
Yes. Can you farm low level areas? Because a big difference in the gameplay.
The legendary scale, if I recall correctly, like you get shit legendaries at lower levels.
Okay. So, like, just for people at home, just a note. How this game works is it's not like Skyrim or the previous Bethesda games. They've actually preset, like a classical RPG, they preset the enemies across the board. So now, and I actually looked this up. So essentially, it's preset certain levels wherever you go in.
Really? I thought certain enemies scale.
I think bosses do, but I know areas don't. I know that for certain. So yeah. The further you get from Sanctuary, the higher level the enemies get, and it's irrespective of what level you are. So, it's like Final Fantasy, where they've set the level ranges as you get further out towards the outskirts of the world that you can explore. It's pretty cool.
That's good. I like it. Because, but I kind of wanted level scaling because if they're going to get rid of the level cap, I kind of do want difficulty. Oh, I just burped. Well,
I think that might be why they have such a high difficulty curve. I think that's why normal is so hard, is because I bet Survivor is just all the way fucked up. I bet absolutely fucked up.
I don't think Stims heal you. Stims don't heal you instantly in Survivor either. So.
Stims heal you instantly? I've never used one.
Stim packs? Yeah. Stim packs. There's a short animation where you need to apply to yourself and then it heals instantly. Stims heal slowly. And if you get hit a lot and you're near death, that's a big problem. So you need to be hitting stims on the go on survival difficulty.
That's cool. Like food. Like I've just been always keeping food going on the go. So
too much radiation, mate.
I took two levels of the radiation resistance from food thing.
Oh, see, the thing is, because I only use stim packs, I have something like 55 Radaways. That said, I have 150 stims on my inventory, so I don't think it's going to be a big problem.
Yeah. But yeah, I immediately started specking towards food doesn't give me radiation, or at least doesn't give me much. So I just
Where radiation heals you. Maybe you should go for that.
That's the ghoul. It says like you're a ghoul on the inside, and I don't know what other effects that would have. Like I might quick save and do it just to see what it does.
There's another one that essentially has, and if you're out in sunlight, it just slowly heals you.
Yeah,
you're solar powered.
Yeah, it's that's the end of. Perception,
the endurance, I think.
Endurance might be, yeah. It's like you are. There's another one like you are a tree. If you're standing still, you get more stuff.
Oh, that one is like you can knock people's weapons out of their hands.
Oh, dude, end game like maxed out pistol perk. You can disarm people. Just
if you
constant random chance. I really like pistols in this game, so I
don't know. Which is sort of unfortunate because in the other Fallout games, if you shot people in the hand or you shot their weapons, you could disarm them.
I assume if you like take out their hand, their arm, it'll disarm them, wouldn't you?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, if you take out their arm, it'll most likely kill them.
Except synths
and ghouls, you can like delimb. Like ghouls, they'll fall and fucking try to kill you. Synths, the same thing.
Yeah. I really like fighting synths. Synths are awesome in this game.
They're cool they are. And those are
move cool.
Yeah, and they also say cool things.
Yeah.
Because they're synths.
Yeah. Sick. Anyway, I'm with that.
Very interesting robot. Yeah.
I want to get back to playing this fucking video game.
I didn't finish this fucking essay. I've literally been procrastinating this essay for about 36 hours straight. It's pretty incredible how much I procrastinated.
I can't believe you have not played Fallout for 36. I can't believe you played 36 hours of Fallout in 2 days.
In 48 hours.
That's fucked.
I slept for 6 hours / went to class. And it's not even like I slept for 6 hours a night. I probably slept maybe 3 hours on the first night and then 4 hours on the second night.
That's fucked.
You're crazy. And now I'm paying the fucking. I skipped all of my class. It's ridiculous. And this is what I'm paying. This is what I'm. I have a late penalty on one of my assignments because of this game.
That's hilarious. Oh, whatever. It's uni.
It's worth it. It's worth. This is the game I've been waiting for since Fallout 3 came out. Right. So it's. I like it.
I'm sad you didn't like The Witcher. Like
I think part of it is I don't like the character of Geralt that much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
He's
that's
kind
like
of an
the
asshole.
Big kind
of an asshole. Oh, I don't
I don't mind playing an asshole, but when I play an asshole, it needs to be a psychopathic, bloodthirsty asshole. It
right.
Can't
you
be
you need
like
to be the right
asshole.
Option in
Fallout. Yeah. it needs to be that. Which is also the part about this game that I hate is in Fallout 3. You could literally be a criminal, right? And the radio person will talk about, you know how he talks about your progress?
Yes.
He would specifically call you, the terror of the wasteland, right?
Right.
You don't really have that in this. You can play a dick, but you can't play a genocidal maniac.
I'm feeling like I'm missing out on the radio, dude, because like I stopped listening to it for a while because of how good
some great things.
Like the background music's just so good. I stopped listening to the radio.
So when you might want to turn it on when you're just doing a mindless combat segment rather than exploring, or just general exploring where you just want to get from point A to point B. I sort of don't fast travel in this game because it lets me find things.
Well, I fast travel between like Sanctuary. Back to home. Sanctuary.
Oh, yeah. I fast travel Sanctuary, but if I have to go to like a place far away and there's a point I've explored near it, I just often just walk it because it's so...
Oh, that you know what? You know what put me over the edge to setting all my stats to 10?
What?
I was sitting there and it turned out like at the very start of the game, I'd put a bunch of materials into Sanctuary. And I was like, I hadn't noticed that they didn't move between vaults yet. So I was like building up Sanctuary, making like buildings and making like gardens and like security shit. And I never ran out of materials. And I was like, all right, cool. Left, came back. And I want to grow the population, and I was like, no gears. What do you mean no gears? I have like millions of gears. I'm like, wait. And then I looked it up, and all my stuff was at the rocket place or rocket whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So all my stuff is a rocket thing because the fast travel is like right next to everything you want. I like rocket whatever. I was like making a choice as to do I want to put on all the junk on my character and then do the slow walk.
And do multiple
walk.
Runs. Yeah.
No, or do the slow walk from, because they're really close together. Like, they're only like, like it'll only be like 10 minutes.
No, but the faster thing to do is run it, or at least fast travel between the two of them.
Yeah, fast travel, it's back and forth, back and forth. And I was like, I'll either do that, or I just set my charisma to 6 and take that perk. Or I would say fuck it and just set it to 10 and deal with it for now and then get that perk naturally as the game goes on. And that's what that's the third option is what I went with. And it really, for people at home, I really do encourage it because it fixes the shooting and fixes the sprinting. It makes it feel so much better.
I encourage it because games are supposed to be hard and difficult, unplayably so. And unplayably masochism difficult. Is a part of life. To hate yourself is to accept.
I think there's a difference between
in an angry world
making changes because the game doesn't play good or the economy is broken.
The game should be played in that way. There needs to be that difficulty to say, yo, you're not gonna
not if it actually actively doesn't play well.
Like, I think it actively plays fine. I don't know. I really
plays fine,
the
but once you like it really plays like good after I stat maxed. Like it feels good as opposed to just okay.
You should go play the game. It's really
and with
good
that, thank you for listening.
But you are liking the game. Let's just put that out there.
I really like it. It is probably my third favorite game of the year. Might be my first favorite. I'll see how it impresses me going forward. The conversation system is really limiting my enjoyment at the moment.
I totally
agree. Yeah, but I'm getting used. Like I'm only getting my first human companion now, so maybe that will change my opinion. I don't know. So thanks for listening, and we will probably have more Fallout talk, if not next week, the week after. Goodbye.